Now I have a machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Would you give me a hand with the bags?
Certainly. You take the blonde and I'll take the man in the tithing.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I command you, as King of the Britons, to stand aside.
I move for no man.
You are now listening to the Cinema to the Cinema.
Welcome to episode 101 of Cinema Crespediso. Mick Foley is Santa Claus, and I am Chris Crespo. Welcome to the show, episode 101. Make sure you listen to episode 100 last week. It was pretty awesome. We had two guests. It was crazy, Curtis Earth and Matt from SBK Live. So go ahead and check that out. This week's show brought to you by ChrisCrespo.com, which is my website, so it only makes sense. The Cinema Crespediso Space-Time Continuum Report. Space-time has not been disrupted, so we all still exist. That's pretty cool.
Are you sure about that? I could have sworn I saw myself looking at myself yesterday.
Unable to resist himself is my co-host, Drew Cogburn. Drew! How's it going?
It's going, man.
What was that? What'd you ask?
I said I thought I saw myself looking at myself yesterday.
Oh, that's bad.
No.
Did you?
I thought so.
I should have consulted with you first before I just did the report.
No,
I just
figured exactly.
Since we're all existing.
Yeah. Well,
we haven't died yet.
Obviously, my future self didn't interact with my past self, or who knows, crazy things could happen.
Oh, man. What shenanigans were going around you?
I have no idea, but I thought I saw myself.
Keep your eyes out. Keep your eyes out for craziness.
Or all could have just been a giant hallucination.
Can't put that one past the Drewster Cogburn.
You never know.
He spent many days in the desert with handfuls of peyote, communing with his
things.
Native American ancestors that he's not related to.
Yes. I found my spirit animal.
And?
It's a raccoon. I know, it's weird.
Raccoon.
Very strange.
All right, well, we have a first-time guest on the show, but he's a friend of the show, so it's pretty cool to have him on. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Elijah.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, dude?
Pretty good.
Go ahead and get right on that mic there. There you go. Beautiful. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Except, it was a pretty sorry Sunday fun day. My Dolphins lost. But, other than that, it's good to be here.
It's tough when you tie your emotional your emotional being to sports.
Yeah.
As a Mets fan, that's been brutal for me for a long time.
Is that why you're always depressed?
Part of the reason. Part of the reason. Being a Magic fan doesn't help either.
No, man.
Still better than Knicks.
That's rough.
Dude, I grew up a Knicks fan.
I know.
None of it's good for me. The only thing that'd be worse if I was a Cubs fan somehow, or a Browns fan, or a fan of Cleveland sports in general.
Yeah.
See, that always makes me feel better. Exactly.
Just
Cleveland.
Yeah.
Just Cleveland in general makes
know,
me feel
right?
better. Shout out to our Ohio listeners. We know you're out there. We love you. But other than the Dolphins and,
it's just great to be here. Checked a few things out. Saw the movie with you yesterday. We're going to talk about that in a bit.
Exactly.
But,
part of the reason why we're here is because you got to join us to see Exodus,
colon,
Gods and Kings.
Yes, it was.
So we'll be talking about that when we do the
really
box office recap.
It's you say colon.
Well, that's what it is. It's in the title.
I know, but it's just
colon, Gods and Kings.
When you say,
I know, it's like, is that like the third character we're not aware of?
sometimes, like during the movie titles, like you're just thinking, Exodus, colon, Gods and Kings.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Is this in the back room behind like the velvet curtain?
Hey, where did the Gods and Kings come from?
The colon.
There you go.
There was an Exodus from the colon.
An Exodus from the colon.
It was Gods and Kings.
And it turns out Exodus, Gods and Kings. Ooh, that does not bid well for the movie's review later on. We got a lot to talk about. I got tons of news pulled. I got a couple of news stories submitted that we can read. I got a bunch of shit here. We got two movies to talk about. We got new movies on DVD, new movies in theaters. But before we do any of that, we're going to do the good old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. And, of course, we start with the
theme song.
It's
going to be Let this see.
Go ahead and give it to the team that you see. Time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. All right, so Elijah used the Crespo Diso randomizer 9000 just to thrust at him, and he knew how to use it automatically. It's a very user-friendly device.
Absolutely. After very many deep thoughts by this very complicated computer system, we have Infernal Affairs.
Oh, very interesting. That one was put on kind of recently, I think within the last month or so. Infernal Affairs is a Chinese crime drama from 2003-2004. You would recognize it as the source material the source material for The Departed. The Departed is a remake of Infernal Affairs, and story beat wise, it's pretty much the same story. It's about you got the cop who is on the take with the mob, and then you got the undercover cop in the mob. And then they're trying to find the other person out without getting caught
themselves.
Okay,
the back and forth between,
the cat and mouse, but it's like a double cat and mouse because they're looking for each other and hiding from each other at the same time.
Now, the biggest question I would have is,
yes,
is there going to be like the Japanese version of like the badass like Irish music in the background Departed?
Because the Departed was set. That was set in
the
Boston.
The soundtrack was pretty sick.
Yeah, and it was all about...
It was all Dropkick Murphys flogging Molly, all that fun stuff.
No, it's more, I don't want to say generic, but more of an action movie score. More of a,
absolutely.
Of a typical score. Yeah, I wouldn't even say it's a Chinese film. I wouldn't even say the music is particularly Chinese.
No, obviously.
It's not like a kung fu film where it goes, meow, 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 or like the Enter the Dragon score, which is totally awesome. It's just...
That was a badass movie.
It is. And Infernal Affairs, there's a reason why they remade it. There's a reason why Scorsese and all those talented people jumped on that project, because Infernal Affairs is a really good movie. They ended up making three of them, Infernal Affairs 2 and Infernal Affairs 3.
Oh, really?
Over here, yeah.
So we're going to get Departed 2 and Departed 3?
Absolutely not. No, if we did, they would be direct-to-video. I never even saw the Infernal Affairs sequels. I couldn't tell you if they're good or not. But Infernal Affairs is a very good movie. And one of the two guys is, I'm pretty sure it's this dude, Tony Leung, who's been in a bunch of movies I really liked. He's in Hero.
Who is he in Hero?
He's the dude with the two lovers.
Okay,
He's the dude. He's also in a bunch of Wong Kar-wai movies, and I know that only makes sense to people who know Wong Kar-wai films. But there's a handful of you listening, so that's for you guys. You know who I'm talking about, Tony Leung. Shout out to that guy. So Infernal Affairs, good job, good pick. There you go. I like it very much. Look forward to reading about that one at chriscrespo.com. Drew.
Yes, sir.
Box office recap. What do you got there, buddy? You got the numbers?
I got some stuff. I got some numbers.
You got some box office mojo numbers?
Yes, I do.
Where are we starting?
We're starting at number 5.
Number 5.
Obviously.
All right. Hey, dog.
Where else would we start?
Sometimes you start at, number 52.
Or number, unlisted.
Every now and then that may happen.
Number 5 this week, Big Hero 6.
Okay.
How Do We Congress is another $6 million, total of $185.3 on a budget of $165.
All right. That's
not bad after 6 weeks.
It's, Disney animated. It's going to make its money. They're obviously, I think, hoping for more like Frozen numbers, but hey, that Frozen was a beast. I still gotta see that shit.
God damn, this movie made more money than Interstellar so far.
Well, yeah, that's because you're talking about an animated movie for an entire family.
Interstellar's made $166.8.
Mm-hmm.
It's number 6 this week. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Click on Interstellar. How much has it made worldwide? Is that $600 million yet worldwide?
How many weeks has it been out now?
About six weeks. The very first week of November is when it came out.
Worldwide, $621.
$621 after 6 weeks, $100 million worldwide.
That's not too shabby.
Yeah, man, it works out. And the movie cost them $160. Add on another $100, $150 for marketing. It's making money. Not a ton of money, but it's making money.
Well, pretty much nowadays, isn't it? As long as you don't lose money, isn't it?
Yeah. And movie companies, the studios are now owned by other companies, which are owned by bigger companies. So, like Universal Studios is owned by GE.
Sweet.
And they're off making weapons, massive, making all this money
and
on
turbines
the turbines. Yeah, all this shit. They're
all
making
this
tons
other
of tons
shit.
Of money. For them, the movies is just this little sliver on their ledger. It's like,
it's more of a PR.
It's
thing.
A prestige thing, yes. Oh, it's something they can show to their shareholders.
It's like somebody
year.
Who owns and CNN it, or something like that. Yeah. We just do it to feel better.
Yes,
ourselves.
Exactly.
Other than that, like, we're DuPont. We make plastic explosives. How are you doing?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Disney, say all the shit. Actually, who's Disney owned by now? ABC, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Or does Disney own
ABC?
No,
Disney owns ABC. Because, yeah, when it, like, Disney owns ABC.
So no one, I mean, Disney is it. No one owns
Disney's
Disney.
Disney is one of the top companies that own other companies.
And they do, for the most part, they just crank out entertainment.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not like they make turbines on the side.
Yeah.
They're making...
Well, you never know.
Actually,
who knows?
You never know. Those fucking Imagineers.
No, man, exactly. Those guys are producing pretty crazy.
They're
shit.
Amazing.
They're video. You know exactly. Yeah.
They were doing animatronic dudes in the '60s.
Exactly.
What are they doing now behind the scenes? We don't know about working with.
Yeah,
the
you thought that was a guy you were talking to. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Throughout the park, how are these guys so nice all the time?
Androids.
They got us already. It's the next Westworld.
It is
Disney World.
Blade Runner all over again.
It is Blade Runner. All over
they can
again.
Trick you into $12 a beer. They can do anything.
No.
Those sons of bitches.
Well, we really don't have a choice. It's either $12 a beer or don't drink.
Yeah, but I want to get a beer from Mexico and a beer from Canada and a beer from Sweden. Do they have a Sweden section?
I can do that at Total Wine.
That's true.
Yeah, but you don't have those delectable, nice young ladies counter offering you such beverages with the accent that accentuates it.
No. With the little labels with their name on it says where they're from. It's like, oh, you're from Guadalajara.
All right, Beavis.
Oh, man.
Coming in number four this week, top five.
Oh, all right. Number four?
Number four, top five.
Okay.
We can gross 7.2 million. Same as a total.
How many screens there?
979.
All right, less than 1,000 screens, and it made number four. That's not bad. And considering also very minimal advertising, I mean, have you seen any commercials at all for Top Five, the movie? Chris Rock's movie.
I have no idea what
you're
talking about.
You don't even know there's a Chris Rock movie.
Then again, remember, I'm the Netflix HBO guy.
Yeah, but
I don't watch TV unless there's a ball involved.
I see him on Comedy Central.
You see him on Comedy Central?
That's it.
I guess I've been watching enough Comedy Central. I feel like this movie just hasn't been marketed. Less than 1,000 screens right there shows that, I mean, they're trying to, I guess maybe they're trying to do a slow rollout, but I'm here to tell you, Top Five is a movie worth seeing faux show.
Huh.
Faux shizzle. Right.
It is good. It is quite good. It's what the movie is Chris Rock plays a dude named Andre Allen, who he's a recovering alcoholic. He's a celebrity. He started as a stand-up comic, but then he made a series of movies called the Hammy the Bear movies, and they look so stupid. It's him in a giant bear suit, and he's a cop. His partner's Luis Guzman. And they showed a scene for a movie, and he's got, like, two machine guns. And he's like, come on! And it's Chris Rock voice.
I got Chris Rock's voice with a fuzzy...
A really bad bear outfit. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's so absurd.
The only thing I heard that was this good was hearing about a raccoon with a laser pistol, and that turned out pretty.
That
damn
turned
good.
Out pretty good.
All right,
this is a very different movie from that was a clip from a fake movie, but still, it's the kind of humor that this movie's going for and what they're skewering, right? So he's at a point in his life where he doesn't want to do comedy anymore. He wants to be taken seriously, and this whole movie takes place over the course of one day, and it's the day that his new movie is released. Where it's a serious film called Uprise, and he plays the leader of a Haitian slave rebellion where they ended up killing 50,000 white people.
Sweet.
And then there's one part where it's like he's attacking so many things in this movie. It's pretty. That's what makes it awesome, because he's attacking just celebrity culture, reality TV, because his fiance is planning a wedding like Kim Kardashian style, and he doesn't want anything to do with it, and she's like, everything's being orchestrated around him, and he hates it. The whole day he's being interviewed by New York Times reporters. That's the narrative device there.
Okay.
And then Rosario Dawson is the reporter, and she, I just gotta say,
she's still smoking,
looking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Actually, everyone looks pretty great in this. Gabriella Union is the reality star chick, and whew, good golly. And then so like he's doing promotion for the show, right? We'd appreciate this year because he has to do promotion. He's doing like radio stuff, and he's being asked. He's going from radio show to radio show, and it's a montage of him doing interviews and all them asking the same questions, stupid questions
over and
like,
over.
Like, what the fuck? And then at one point, he's starting to I think he's on the Opie and Anthony show, and he's talking to them, and they're like, "So this movie where 50,000 white people died? Don't you think you know some people?" It's like, well, we only show like 2,000 or 3,000 of them, and then it cuts to him doing the black show, and then the black host asks him. Like, you only show 3,000? What the? Come on, man.
You killed 50,000. Come on, let's see all their faces.
Yeah,
you can do better.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like he's caught in the middle. Can't please anyone type of thing, right? There's a lot going on in this movie, and they squeeze it all into an hour 40, and the movie goes. Like, because it's all during the course of a day, so there's a lot going on in each
those,
scene.
Like, time frame events.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha, it starts in the morning with him meeting the reporter, and like, all right,
forgive
this is
me,
gonna
but
suck.
Kind of like an episode of 24.
Not that rigid. Not that. You know.
But that's where.
It's like a bottle episode of a TV show where it's in the sense that it all takes place in one location in one day, where it's all New York City. It's all him just dealing with the interview with his horrible wedding arrangements that he has nothing to do with, and trying to get out the word for this movie that nobody wants to see because he's a comedian and we want to see him do comedy and not serious stuff. Yeah. You know. And the thing is, the movie gets really personal, and you know, it seems like in many ways Chris Rock is writing from, because he wrote the movie, wrote it and directed it, and he's coming from a place of like actual truth, like he knows what he's talking about. He's always been that way as a stand-up comic, a very observant stand-up comic, very astute. I mean, he's influenced culture in his own way, and this is the first time where he's been in a movie and made a movie that kind of reflects a stand-up comedy, you know, as opposed to the other movies he's been in, which have all been. Unless you're talking about New Jack City, you know.
Even that, even as serious as that was, that movie was silly as hell. And
well, when you look, when you look back on it now,
I mean, whenever I think of that movie, I just close my eyes and I see Chris Rock in a fucking rainstorm, hitting that crack pipe, just all wigged out, and it's the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, I mean, it's come on.
Yeah, well, it's also pretty real too.
Oh yeah, in that some too. Ways.
And life is ridiculous. But I mean, I was very impressed by this movie. Also, great cast. Like every role is someone awesome. Jerry Seinfeld and Adam Sandler pop up at the end,
of course,
playing themselves. But
weird.
Hey, if you want to see Seinfeld very awkwardly making it rain with $100 bills in a strip club,
movie for us.
There you go.
I'm gonna have to see it just based on that.
Adam Sandler talking about, I was like, you gotta sign the prenup. Make sure you get the prenup. It's like, did you get one signed? He's like, no. Damn it. Whoopi Goldberg is, oh, it's good. Even the smaller roles. Kevin Hart has one scene. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Cedric the Entertainer, probably most I've ever liked him in a movie. The character he plays is pretty crazy and he's really funny in it. And then the way they end up with his, I don't want to give away what happens with his character. But the way he goes out with a bang. Let me tell you, it's good shit. Even like small roles, like when he has to record some commercials for a radio station, like Brian Regan, who's a very successful stand-up comic now. Yeah. He plays the guy, the engineer. Everywhere you turn, it was like someone, it's pretty awesome. So
sweet.
For sure, top five. I liked it a lot. I would say it's definitely worth checking out. You know, I mean, you don't got to rush out to see it in a theater because it's not like the super cinematic movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very basic movie. You could watch it at home and not lose anything.
It's one of those like Netflix kind of speed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not like Transformers, Dark Side of the Earth, IMAX.
Yes, but, exactly. You don't have to see it on the biggest screen possible. But the thing is, I do kind of feel like movies like this don't get made enough. Not even just for support. Yeah, yeah, for support, it could use money. I'm not even saying just as a black film because the movie is mostly a black cast and it could be conceived as that. But you could also, the way the movie's design and the stories are, you could insert any race into these roles and it really wouldn't matter. The most black, quote, black thing that happens or is the whole thing, that the reason it's called top five is because they're always throwing out their top five rappers.
Okay.
You know? Okay. And even then,
we can do that right now.
Yeah,
it's all about being able to associate with the character.
Yeah, exactly. And the characters are very, exactly, and they're very relatable.
Yeah.
Because it's all universal truths. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a really good movie. People need to see it. It's really good. I think they'd be surprised by how good it is. So, top five. There you go. What was that? That was number four?
Number four.
All right, hopefully it'll stick around for a while. We'll see.
Number three this week, Penguin's
Meg. Oh, real quick, I'm sorry. The Rotten Tomatoes, 89% positive. Where is the consensus thing? What did they say? As smart, funny, and trenchant as writer-director star Chris Rock's best stand-up work, Top 5 is a career highlight for its creator and one of the comedy standouts of 2014. So there you go. Rotten Tomatoes agrees. Thank you, Rotten Tomatoes.
Number three this week, Penguins of Madagascar had a weekend gross to $7.3 million. Total of 58, budget of 132.
That's part of why Big Hero 6 isn't making as much money as it could be, because the DreamWorks is out there with their penguins. Which, Drew, have you seen it yet? Waiting for your review,
nope, man. Sounds pretty awful.
You're all like, I want to see it.
No, exactly. And I've read some reviews, and they say that the TV show is better than the movie, and that TV show is awful.
Do you ever watch any of those Madagascar movies, Elijah?
Actually, no. And the whole, like, series and concept is kind of scary to me. It's like, I'm not quite that interested.
Yeah, talking animals.
I mean, other than that, like, The Lion King was great, but, you know, after that, it's just kind of like...
Yeah, but The Lion King had fucking Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons, yes. Jeremy Irons.
Let's not compare that. That's a terrible Jeremy Irons. Let's not even dignify that.
That comparison. I mean, come on. Yeah, fair enough. Not even same studio.
Come on, this is like... No.
Number two this week.
All right.
Hunger Games, Mockingjay, Part 1 of 2 of Book 3. Weekend gross, $13.2 million, total of $277.4 mm-hmm. on a budget of $125.
Almost $300 million. Is that what you said? Yes. $277.4?
$277.4.
I'm pretty sure. First off, I don't think any movie has made over $300 million the U.S. box office this year.
Okay.
Which is interesting because for years, a bunch of movies have hit $300 for a while now. But movies have made a little bit less money this year. Hmm. That being said, that makes this one the first to probably get to 300 and also the highest grossing film in the U.S., Hunger Games. And you know what? Of the three Hunger Games movies out, it's not making as much as the last one.
Well, it's because it's not as good as the last one.
And people want to see the next one because they split the book up, the final book, into two.
Yeah, so this one's all set up for the big finale.
For the action.
Did you guys see that movie?
Of course.
Yeah, we did. Oh, okay. Yeah, we did. Because it's a cultural thing,
man. I've seen
them
all.
Well, no, see, like, I didn't watch any of them until about 3 weeks ago. No. They popped up on Netflix. Yeah. I ended up watching both.
What did you think of them?
Actually, I was kind of surprised of the sub-story that it was so popular, but people actually could associate to the financial inequality, what was going on with the capital and the districts and such.
Yeah, the class warfare.
You know, it's just like it's so apparent that it surprised me to be so popular.
Well, I think that's why, because it's a revenge fantasy on a macro scale. You know, the people are going to rise up, and we're going to take down the people hoarding all the wealth. The whole 1% versus
99%. I think the better way to put it was that I was surprised to see the script and what was going on was deeper than the teeny bopper 13-year-old screaming and going crazy.
Okay, it was more going on than you expected. Yeah. I got you. Yeah,
you know.
And it does go places with the whole, you know, the revolution and the setup. It does do more than I thought it would be with the first movie, where first movie's like, oh, it's going to be it's a battle royale type thing, a bunch of kids, you know, in a battle dome type scenario. And I was a little surprised as the movies were on, they got away from that setup. And that goes, the third one, there is no Hunger Games in the third one. There's one in the first one and the second one. But
it's all war and revolution.
Yeah, from the third one and the fourth one, it's just all the fallout.
That's what surprised me. I really thought it was going to be more of like the teeny bopper. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Like a Twilight-y type thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know? Then all of a sudden I'm seeing like the revolt, the inequality, the capital pushing down, the fight back. And I'm like, oh my God, people actually might get smart watching this.
Knock on wood, slightly smarter. I do like Katniss as a hero, as a lead. You know, she's not like, she's a very strong person. Obviously she's strong because.
With a very silly name.
All the names are horrible. Yeah. I read online that the names are on purposely silly because she. Whoever wrote it, I forgot her name.
The lady who doesn't know what Battle Royale is.
Who claimed to not know what Battle Royale is.
Yeah, that's hilarious to me.
Yeah, right.
Or has ever read Lord of the Flies.
Named the two main people, Katniss and Peeta. Peeta and Katniss, knowing that the youth who would be reading this book, the young adults, would mash those names together. Peeta and Katniss, you take out the T and the cat, and you're just stuck with the P and the Niss. They're putting the names together, you got penis.
Oh,
my God. That's seriously, just look it up online. People theorize what that is. I don't think she's ever backed that up.
Yeah, that's another example. Everything on the internet must be true.
Yes. Everything is on the internet is true, man. I saw this unicorn. They caught this unicorn, bro.
Over North Korea, dude.
Yeah.
Over North Korea? Was it flying after a shoot down to B-52
bombs? They had to shoot it down. It was over restricted airspace.
And Kim Jong was like riding it like his bull.
He brought it back to life. He saved it. Yeah.
That's
according to the Pyongyang main news, you know. But still,
That's government sanctioned over there.
Don't worry, it'll come out on the Sony.
Government doesn't lie about anything.
No, never.
NSA is listening right now. Shout out to the NSA.
Thank you for listening.
We don't like the Hunger Games. So revolution, no bad. Oh, okay. I think that got them they got them off her back. Okay, well then you know what I mean. Yeah, for you, definitely when the Hunger Games comes around on the Netflix, because if the first two are on there, the third one's going to be on there. Probably by this time next year when the fourth movie comes out in theaters. Mm-hmm. I mean,
to promote the new one.
Yeah, it'll be worth watching.
And then you can buy the box set.
Ooh, or just watch them on Netflix.
No.
Yeah. Or you get the box set. The books.
Does it come with an exclusive leaked Katniss naked picture?
No. You can find that online with minimal search effort.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something, isn't it? We'll talk more about hacked data in the second half of this show for sure. So Hunger Games making a ton of money. It was number one, Hunger Games, this one, for like 3 weeks in a row, mostly because there hasn't been much coming out in theaters.
Yeah, but I'd say it's been pretty quiet.
It's been a little quiet. This week we had kind of a big movie come out. And what was that, Drew?
Exodus : God's name.
So the god or king came out of the what happened? Colon. What was first? What was second?
Well, exactly.
Let's figure it out.
How do we get gross to $24.5 million? Total is the same. Budget of $140.
$24 million weekend is a
Ridley
little
Scott's Bible epic.
Yeah, it's a little soft. They wanted something closer to like 40 million, maybe 45. December is a tough month to get a lot of people out in theaters because all the holiday stuff, the shopping, the planning. People don't have that much time. It's not like the summer.
Still, a good biblical snuff film usually draws them out.
A good,
you would think.
Well, if you got Jesus in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But you want to see all these other people again? Yeah. Do we really care about these Egyptians over here?
Oh, come on.
So Exodus, Gods and Kings. Let's talk about it, guys. We all saw this.
Yes.
Yep.
Drew, why don't you get us started?
I thought, personally, I enjoyed it. I like what Ridley Scott did with the story. I don't want to give too much away about...
Give it away. It's the Bible.
I like that he
The story is 8,000 years old.
I like the way that he went a different route with that same story. Instead of, Moses is talking to God, this, that, the other, Moses gets smacked in the face with a giant rock, and everyone thinks he's schizophrenic for the rest of the movie because he's talking to himself.
Or can the other people, God just hasn't made himself or herself visible to the other people. God is only presented to Moses. Moses is privileged.
This is when he was like spiteful and having fun with people. So the fact that how he started presenting himself just seems like perfect for his demeanor at the time. Like, I'm going to mess with you.
Oh, yeah.
This is how I'm going to talk to you.
It really was a great casting for God in the Old Testament sense.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's something we can let people find out for themselves. Because that is an interesting artistic choice. And,
it is true. It's true.
Yeah, so...
treat my Hebrews or I'm taking my toys home.
very petulant God at times. Uh-huh. Very revenge happy. But you liked it, though. You liked the movie.
I enjoyed it. It was... It reminded me a lot of Noah. It was a retelling of a story, but in a different manner.
Mm-hmm.
Moses was a crazy old bastard, and he, killed a whole lot of people, and that was shown in the movie, which I thought was very nice. It made it more human, I guess, and less maybe religious and fantastic.
Right.
Well,
Ridley Scott, a noted non-believer,
mm-hmm.
He has been quoted as saying he feels that non-believers would even be able to make biblical films better than believers because they have to find a way to make the story work for themselves. They have to believe the story.
Yeah,
No, I totally agree, especially with how it all began. I'm not going to get into it, but how all the plagues began.
Oh, yeah, sure.
For once, it made it make sense how it could happen.
Yeah.
Not saying it's going to happen on like flip of a coin or
something. Yeah, but scientifically, it can happen.
Yeah, it made it make sense.
Well, it's fine. I think we can talk about it pretty openly, because like Drew said, it's the approach he took with the movie, kind of more of a realistic thing where Moses is presented as possibly
schizo
and brain damaged.
Yeah, because he got smacked in the face with the rock.
For some reason, God stopped talking to people once modern medicine got to a certain point. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, no. God didn't stop talking to people.
Or are we just suppressing people's channels to God?
We just started throwing those people in the loony bin and calling them crazy.
Well, for a while it was loony bin. Now we're trying to medicine.
Well, yeah.
It's a very... This is like, what if this... It's like a real world approach to this. So when the plagues start happening, that plagues fucking happen fast.
And it was all... Well, it starts...
And it was in succession for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with the feeding frenzy and all the...
The giant gators.
And, well, the silt, the giant gators, and the algae.
Yeah, which caused the sea to turn red like blood.
Exactly.
In the Bible, it says that did it turn into blood or turn? I can't remember.
I mean, in the King James, it says it's turned to blood. But the old Hebrew says, I couldn't tell you. Can't read Hebrew.
Exactly, right? Well, why not, Drew?
Because I'm not Jewish.
Fair enough. Just lazy. Just lazy. Lazy bastard.
Lazy.
We're all writing Jewish over here. We're writing from right to left.
If you think in the long term, though, in like 5-10 years from then, that soil is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
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 Too bad not too many people around to appreciate it by
that
point.
That's true.
But yeah, you know, from...
So the water turns silty, overly silty.
Exactly. So the fish die. And then that turns the river rancid. So the frogs come out. And then the frogs have nowhere to go.
So they die.
The frogs die. And then the flies.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Then it was the hailstorm.
Well, that's a little later because we're talking about first. All those things happen in succession over the course of a couple of days, a few days it seemed like.
Well, oh no, it was and the frogs, the flies, and then what? The boils, and then the hailstorm.
And the boils happen after because of the disease brought by the flies. And there's even a part in the movie where Ramses, played by Australian Joel Edgerton in Orange Face, they're all sitting around in a council, and they're like explaining everything. Like, this, oh, this happened, and this happened, and this happened.
And he's got the fly mask on.
And then they got the fly mask on and try to get the flies out of their face. Now there's a couple, like, all right, the storm is just a storm, right? Okay, so there's a bad storm.
But the storm created the locusts. But
the storm brought the locusts.
Yeah, because the rain came, awoke the locusts, and the locusts came.
Yeah.
And then all the animals died.
Before we get to the locusts, I just want to notice, do you notice that in the movie, when everybody started having these boils and all this crazy of their skin?
Yeah.
Nobody freaked out?
They were pretty.
They freaked out more about frogs.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, there's a frog. No. Here's a huge
my face is coming off.
Like thing growing out of the side of my neck and face. It's putting all this pus and grossness. And everybody's like, yeah, this is a bad day.
That's true.
Oh my God, there's a frog. Personally, I don't know. People back then maybe had their things backwards. I don't know.
And there was also that one moment where the flies were super thick. And it was like, oh, no, no. I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty terrible. It's like getting in their mouth and shit. Yeah. It's pretty inconvenient. But then it cuts to one guy who, like, the flies are attacking him. And he's like, no. And he hits the ground and they're going all over his face. His mouth. He's like, no.
It's like watching Animal Kingdom with the birds flying. Then switching to Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
I
don't get it.
Exactly. It went from like, oh, this is realistic to that is so absurd. Mm-hmm. Those CG flies are choking that man out.
Yes. That's sad. And the CG locusts are eating everything.
And the CG locusts. Ugh. Gross locusts. So, yeah, it takes a very scientific approach. But then there's a couple things also kind of doesn't really try to explain anything. Like maybe more it is God. Like there's the final plague is when all the firstborn die, and it's a Passover. The whole essence of Passover, painting of that the lamb's thing, blood.
Yeah, that was not based in science whatsoever.
That one, they just did straight up.
Yeah. This is straight up. Angel this of is death. The hand of God.
Yes. Yeah. Angel
wiping
of death
you out,
took them all out, Slayer style.
And that's it. This is like that's it. You're done. If you don't like it, fuck off. You're
so
done.
It was kind of that's why I feel like it's the movie isn't coming out and saying Moses had problems. I think it's saying that's an interpretation. And it's an interpretation you can have. You can walk away from it and it's perfectly fine.
Well, they had to do that.
But they're keeping it open so that Christians can watch it and be like, no, it's... You can argue that it's because he's only making himself seen by Moses.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally arguable.
And then he's making all these plagues happen. It's almost like in Noah when they go over the creation story, but then they tie the creation story to evolution.
Which is so awesome.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes all sense. Right? it's almost like the same thing happens here, so... It is an interesting approach. I don't think Christians are going to buy it.
No. I think they
didn't buy Noah. They're not going
to
buy this.
Not just Christians. I don't think I think this movie is going to go the same way that Noah did. I think it's a really good movie made by an accomplished director and no one wants anything to do with it.
That's the way it's going to turn out. What did you like it? How did you feel about the movie?
I thought the whole movie was a joke.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah,
the whole thing was just a flipping joke. I mean, if I'm gonna go see a Bible flick, mm-hmm. even I'm not really that interested in,
mm-hmm.
and even the war scenes suck.
The war scene.
I mean, come on.
They had to. I've been bitching about this for a while. They had to squeeze in the scene of two crowds of people
mashing into each other,
coming at each other in a big open field and hitting each other. And you know what? It's Ridley Scott. He does it fine. But it ain't no Return to King Lord of the Rings. I mean,
well,
that
nothing
whole
will
movie.
Be.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Enough with these fucking scenes.
I mean, they're trying.
It was
to,
even in that Maleficent movie.
But see, that's a lie. See, I won't say I'm disappointed. I got exactly what I thought I was going to see when I went to go see.
Did
it.
You?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a mediocre, blase, blah.
Because I wasn't expecting to see John Turturro.
No, I wasn't expecting to see John Turturro as the fucking pharaoh.
As a pharaoh.
And then who is the other guy who played the viceroy?
That's Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah,
the Australian
exactly.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah, it's like, what are you? Who are you people? What are you doing in this movie?
I understand casting Christian Bale, a man named Christian, as Moses mm-hmm. because he's a star. He's fucking Batman.
And he's kind of batshit crazy.
And we're trying to make money. You know, Ridley Scott came out and said no one would finance this movie if we put, you know, Muhammad so-and-so as a lead role.
No, that's true. That's
and,
true.
It, and yeah, and it's unfortunate and it's sad, but it's true.
But did
but that didn't have to extend to all the outside roles. That didn't have to extend to Sigourney Weaver being in the goddamn movie for 2 seconds just to throw shade on Moses. She's just throwing shade on Moses. Like, kill him, kill him.
Ben Kingsley was in there for a little bit.
Ben Kingsley, who, of all the people, he's the closest, because he's half Indian, so he's the closest to being that part of the world by 1,000 or 2,000 miles, but still the closest. All right, because now we're talking about the rest of the cast is Australians, Welshmen, Americans, Englishmen.
It was crazy.
Half English. It was ridiculous. I would say I'm between the two of you guys. You liked it. You thought it was a joke. I'm in the middle. I thought it was. It had its moments. There were parts when I was into it. But I do have a background where I'm interested in the story and seeing another person's take on the story. But going into it, I also knew, I know all the beats. I know what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm ready for what's happening next. I just want to see how they tell this part. I was disappointed when we get to the end and the Ten Commandments is a fucking footnote.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, I was like, this should have been, this is a big goddamn moment in the whole story. Almost kind of, the whole story almost kind of leads up to this, because this is the basis of, you know, moral code for Christianity. And you know
Judaism.
What? Judaism, if you take for religion in general, and if you take out the religious overtones of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
I think we can all get behind that. Thou shalt not steal. Yeah, I'll stay away from your shitty stuff.
Well,
it's shit, man.
It's not thou shalt not kill, it's thou shalt not murder, but whatever.
All right.
So yeah, because there's a whole lot of killing in the name of God, dude.
That's true. Yeah.
It's thou shalt not murder.
It's all that has semantics.
The only worry I had about
thou shalt not covet. I'm not coveting. I just want your wife.
What bothered
that
me
is coveting.
Really is why was Ramses mentally retarded? Or was this like how they wanted him to be?
I don't know.
Throughout the movie, I was just like, he wasn't a good antagonist to me
because
he
think
was
so
too
either.
Just dumbass.
Yeah. I mean, he was muddled because at sometimes. Sometimes in the same scene, he's like, I have great affection for Moses. I love this guy. We grew up as brothers. But is he going to betray me for some reason? That I've got some prophecy came out.
Yes, because of the prophecy.
Because of some prophecy, and I'm afraid this dude who I love with all my heart is going to betray
but
me.
But you
I'm
just
exiling.
Betrayed that so much more clearly through the entire movie. The
yes,
whole movie,
exactly.
It was like him
the,
walking
the
around
waffling.
Clouded eyes.
You almost wish that.
Not would, knowing what the hell was going on.
You almost wish it would be that clear.
Yeah, because it was like, is he trying to like, because he was sitting there at the very beginning, I'm going to kill him. He's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't do it.
You know what? I thought that moment was interesting because it was like, is he? I felt like he was arguing with himself. Like, I can kill him, or this is a chance for me to save him, and then the prophecy doesn't matter because
exactly.
I saved him, he saved me.
Like, he was disappointed he couldn't fulfill the prophecy,
yeah.
And at the same time,
he's like, oh, I had that moment, and I let it go because now Moses, now we made eyes. He's looking right at me.
It's one of the psychological tests. Do you think he's going to kill him?
Yeah.
Or is he trying to save
him? Right, you know what? And I thought, I did think that one moment in that whole battle scene was interesting, but I also think that that whole fucking, that battle, the first 40 minutes of the movie is almost worthless. The best stuff is when he's going back and he's doing the let my people go and here are the plagues and here's the revenge and the parting of the sea and the chase. And that felt like that was all kind of shrunk at the end. Like the plagues happened fast.
Yeah.
And then after when they get to the desert on the other side, it's like there's just a quick scene of the Ten Commandments where it's almost like if you don't know the story ahead of time, how can it even make sense? And then it's the final shot, which is like a nothing shot. It's nothing. And then, you know, I really wanted this movie to be something else. I wanted this movie to be the actual Exodus, the 40 years of wandering, might even been more than 40 years of wandering in the desert,
and the stuff they would have ran into
all
the
stuff.
Yeah.
There are crazy stories. There are crazy stories from that point in the Bible after the Ten Commandments.
Well, that's the sequel next year, you know that, right?
Oh, not with the money it's making.
No.
Not with a $24 million opening. Exodus : Gods and Kings 2, the God ending. No, that's
no,
not,
you forgot
that's
the
not
colon.
Double colon. Exodus double
whoa.
Colon. Whoa, double, it's like a double rainbow. Double colon, bro. So, yeah, you know, there are things I liked about it, there are things I didn't like about it. For the most part, I thought it was a bit of a slog. Like, it was gray and dreary and kind of a bummer.
Well, I checked my phone to see what time it was 3 times.
That's not a good sign.
That tells
that's
me
the same,
enough.
That's the same test my mom does. I mean, and this is how I know when a movie works for her or not. If I'm watching a movie with her in any way, and she's like, if we're at home, she opens up the laptop and starts, I'm like, yep.
That's it.
Yep.
Yep, she's done with this one. Or if we're in a theater, she takes out her phone and starts doing this. I'm like, oh, shit, nope. She's not digging this one. Mm. Django Unchained. Loved it. So.
I still haven't seen that, actually.
Yeah, it's sitting right over there, man.
It's on Netflix.
And it's also on Netflix, too. That's true.
I just saw RoboCop, but, you know, it's most new.
Oh, the this year's RoboCop. Did you like that one?
Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me. No. I mean, talk about, like fisting somebody to get a voice over it. No. No.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried. Let's make him black. Let's make him cool.
The black suit.
Yeah, the black
suit. I thought
he
looked so weird in the black suit.
I prefer, and I
really hated his human hand. His human hand was the weirdest thing, too.
The coolest thing was just, like, the lungs and that suspended aperture or whatever hell that was.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah,
I was just like, okay, I can buy into this.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was great, actually. That's a problem with that movie. That movie had moments. That moment and then the opening where they're doing the news broadcast and they have the Ed 209s in the street in like fucking the Middle East
and they're doing policing
and then people are suicide bombing that, so it's like they're fighting a corporation.
Well, Samuel Jackson
countries have become corporations, etc. Samuel Jackson was good for that. I thought all that was great. So I was like, you know what, this movie has potential, and then it just went down.
Well, it made me feel like I see it, like when I watch Fox News, I couldn't really tell much of a difference.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what they were going for, and you know. That one was a very disappointing movie. They also made it PG-13.
No, it was fun, like what they were trying to do with it and such. But I mean, I'm glad I Redboxed it.
Yeah,
but I'm kind of more disappointed I didn't Netflix it.
Yes, you only wasted $1.50 on that one.
No, I forgot it. No, that's how they get you. I forgot it in my truck, so I had to pay $4.
Oh, you got to return that shit.
Yeah, they got me.
You got to return that shit. Exodus. So okay, so. I mean, Drew, do you tell people to go see it in a theater or wait? I mean, it is an epic, spectacle-filled movie. There's a lot of big sights.
It is, and they are offering it in 3D. And
there were a couple shots in the movie where I was like, I feel like
that would have been really cool.
Like, this will look cool. That would look cool. But for the most part,
that was like five shots.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a very talky film.
It was like a whole 5 minutes of the movie that I wish I could have seen in 3D. So
yeah, so I don't think that would have been worth it.
And even so, everyone with big screens, you might as well just watch it at home. It's a long movie.
It was long.
Yeah.
It was long. I had to shift. I had to move my butt around quite a few times.
I actually got up in the middle and bought popcorn because I got hungry.
That's how much it was sucking you in. You're like,
I was just like, okay.
Man, I'm going to chomp on something. I would say, wait for home. Would you even say watch it at all, Elijah? That's how we tell people. Should they see it at theater? Goodness. Should they watch it on DVD, Netflix, on HBO, something like that?
Honestly.
Or should they not even fucking bother?
Honestly, just from the outside looking in. Pass.
You just totally pass on.
Pass. It's 2.5 hours. You won't get back.
True. Well, I would say if you're interested in the Moses story, the Ten Commandments, and seeing it,
if you had like a more of a religious background with an interest in such things, by all means.
That I don't know.
But if you're looking for an action flick, just with biblical tones, you're not going to get it.
And I think if you are a religious person,
I think you're going to hate the movie even more.
I don't think you would like the movie. So it's a very narrow audience that they're going for, and I don't even think they made that audience. On the Rotten Tomatoes, we're looking at a consensus score of 28%.
Oof. Oh, wow. I didn't think it was that bad.
Oof.
I'm on track.
Well, what's the
28%.
See, they changed the way the site works, and I can't easily find the rating. Oh, anyway. The consensus, while sporadically stirring and suitably epic in its ambitions, Exodus: Gods and Kings can't quite live up to its classic source material, i.e. the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is the Bible.
I thought the second 300 was better, okay?
Ooh. Not enough choke sex in Exodus, that's for sure.
I'm just saying.
Someone should make Balaam the Dragon.
Yeah, that'd be...
That'd be a crazy-ass movie.
That would be a crazy movie. Is this a new J.R. Tolkien? Like, no. Catholic Bible. All right, so that was your top five. Let's see, we got new movies coming on DVD. We got a few movies coming out. There's The Maze Runner, which was okay. That's definitely like a Netflix type of movie.
If you've got, hour and a half to kill, might as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's that type of thing. The Skeleton Twins is this Bill Hader, Kristen Wiig movie that played well at some festivals.
It was playing at the Enzion.
It was playing at the Enzion for a little while, so that's a little comedy there. And then This Is Where I Leave You, which is that comedy about the dad who died and the family comes together, and it's Jason Bateman, Adam Driver, Tina Fey, I think, right?
Something like that.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. From the summer comes out.
I'm curious about that one.
It was so awful.
I didn't like it. It's curious to watch it to see where it went wrong.
People say, "Oh my god, it's so awful."
Yeah, it's weird.
That's just like I want to watch the old nasty, like crazy old version.
Yeah,
the 1989, look how cheesy version. This is.
Yeah. It might be
then
better.
Flip it over and watch it, then be like, "Okay, this isn't that bad."
You might be surprised. You might be like,
"Interesting."
Interesting how it didn't really. The effects might have gotten better, but
don't that's about it.
I like the Foot Clan a lot better in the first one.
Definitely.
And Shredder.
Worst. This was the worst Shredder ever.
And Splinter. Actually, the Splinter in this
Splinter in this movie's badass.
The Splinter's cool, but also one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in a movie.
He's got the giant black eyes.
He's got the black eyes. And his face, his nose way comes out of his bulbous.
He's not supposed to be a mutated rat.
He's a giant mutated rat.
Right?
But I'm saying, but a giant mutated rat in the first Turtles.
At the kettle being black. What?
No, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that rat didn't disgust me. I can watch the movie and just, oh, look, it's a giant rat.
Well, it had human eyes.
I don't think the eyes had anything to do with it. It had that horrible bulbous nose thing.
Like a real rat.
With warts coming off of it.
Like a real rat.
Okay, they didn't have to make it look like a fucking real rat. They could have made it look any way they wanted to, and they chose to make it look disgusting. So, fuck those guys for that. There you go.
All right.
That's what I got to say about that. So, anyway. What's coming on in theaters, Drew?
Well, on the 17th.
Oh, on Wednesday.
We've got the Hobbit, the Battle of the Five Armies.
Of course, that's going to come out a couple
days
early.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, I heard it's 2.5 hours of action.
Gratuitous violence at its peak.
That's all it is.
I'm really looking forward to this entire franchise being over.
Yeah, it's done. This is it. This is we're sticking the fork in it. The Hobbit, it's all done. No more Tolkien movies.
No more Peter Jackson Tolkien. I'm really thankful because this entire Hobbit series has really disappointed me.
It's been a bummer.
Well, I haven't watched any of the new series.
Yeah.
On purpose. No, I want them all to be out at the same time because this whole like year and a half break between movies to me is like, fuck that.
And they can just go ahead and crush through them.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I mean,
just binge watch them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one has like a 15-minute singing scene.
So you can fast forward through that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's like they're singing a song about a mountain.
Well, I'm the guy who watched Dwarven. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, they really go all out on this one.
Good for them. But remember, like, I've watched the first season of Game of Thrones, loved it to death. Then I just stopped. Because I'm tired of, like, the cliffhanger between
waiting.
The bullshit. No, I'm going to wait till it's completely done. Okay. Then I'm going to watch it.
It's going to be a really long time.
Fair enough.
I don't care.
It's not going to be that long.
If I already put off 3 years,
yeah,
another 4 to go.
Another 4 or 5 years will be done.
Eh, whatever.
Hey, it'll be there just like that. Before you know it, you're like, shit, where did all that time go? Game of Thrones is here. I can watch the whole thing. What else is coming out in theaters?
Coming on the 19th, we've got a fun little remake, Annie.
Actually, I think
that was hacked, wasn't it?
Annie is urban.
Annie is part of the Sony hack. Thing, yeah. Yeah. It was released.
I'm wondering right now why.
Who hacked it?
Why would you want Annie? I'm sorry, this is me.
Well, I mean, it's a timeless story.
It's a musical.
It's a musical. I don't care for musicals. I really don't give a shit about Annie or Tomorrow. Fuck that song.
It's a remake.
Man. I hate that song. It's a remake.
It's a money grab.
It's a money grab. It'll make its money. The girl who plays Annie.
That's Gwenji Wallace
from Beasts of the Southern Wild. She was
crazy
awesome
movie.
Crazy movie. She's great in that. So, hey, good for her for cashing in. Well, good for her family for cashing in.
Yeah. And
hopefully
also,
put that shit in a trust fund for her.
Right.
The last Robin Williams movie, Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb.
Is that still going? What is that, like number like
that's
seven?
That's the third one.
It's the third one. It's the last one, too.
It'll probably be the last one.
Are you sure this is three?
Yeah.
It seems like there's been so many. Nope.
It does seem like they keep making them, but no.
Only the third.
It's the third one. Like Drew said, it's the last Robin Williams.
Yes. It's the last movie. He was still making the movie when he...
Let me retract a aforementioned statement.
Offed himself.
Yeah, it's going to be tough then because he was a pretty big character, I think. I never even watched the movie.
He was Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, he was Teddy. He's
fucking Teddy, man.
Even though I only saw the first one.
I haven't seen any of them. I saw the trailers, and that's enough.
Really? Exactly.
I know a Sean Levy movie when I see it from a mile away.
Well, it was so slapstick, I just didn't really...
Yeah, it's not. It's not a good director.
Okay, this is great. Maybe if I had like some 4-year-olds or some shit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure the kids love it.
Yeah, it's for the kids. It's a kids movie. So,
oh yeah.
All right, there we go. It's like a quick break here. I got a Crespo Disco for you guys. I've been talking a lot about the movie Whiplash lately. Here's one song from the soundtrack. Only one song because it's 9 minutes long, but it's awesome. It's a song Caravan.
Awesome.
The Buddy Rich version's even longer, but this is the one that's off the soundtrack. Enjoy, guys. We'll be back with the second half of the show. We got a lot to talk about soon.
And then the band director is hyping everybody up.
Yeah, no, so in that video, the drummer, the dude's on point.
Right. Oh, so he's best like, musicians.
No, so the guy's like, you know, I'm not getting any more of this or whatever. And he's like,
yeah.
Like he's giving him, he's giving
yeah.
in that
rim shots.
You don't even, oh, dude, you get that and you get like, you'd be like, and I love the Lord. And the Lord told me, he said, get up. And I said, I can't get up. And the Lord said, get up. And I got up. And
that's it, yeah.
Listen to the SBK Live Show at sbklive.fm or on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Alright, second half of episode 101. Oh, Cinema Crespo Iso starts now. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Hang out with Juice Cogburn.
What up?
And Elijah.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
All right, we are hanging out, having a good time. Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com. Make sure you email the show, CinemaCrespoIso@gmail.com, and tweet us at CrespoIso. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
On all the internet, Antihero419, except no imitators. Elijah, you got anything to you want to plug? You want to put out there?
It's a little bit more private at the moment. I got to build up into all that, like, trusting myself out there. Because, you know, I do have my Instagrams and all that good noise.
But you don't want people to necessarily know what it is.
There's enough oddballs out there. I have no idea who they are.
Sure.
Hey, you know, it's just like, hey, can I look at your pictures? Hey, can I look at this? I'm just like, who the hell are you?
But oddballs listen to our show right now.
And then you tell them no.
Shout out to our oddball listeners. You guys are awesome.
I do. I mean, I'm saying, but, you know, I'm kind of like virginish with the stuff.
That's cool. That's cool, man. That's why I asked. I'm fine with it. You can hit me up on Twitter at @IamChrisCrespo. You can hit up the show on Facebook, like us, Cinema Crespediso. You can even write on our wall, on our timeline, let us know what you think about certain things. I've been telling people listening to the show, they can give us their movie reviews, mini movie reviews, so to speak. You know, they can tweet them to us, email to us. I got here on Facebook, Paul Hine, shout out to Paul. He wrote on our page, just finished watching The Guest. Holy shit, it was awesome and left me wanting more.
Damn straight.
The Guest is a great movie, Elijah. It'll be coming on DVD first week of January. Recommend checking it out.
What's the premise?
A dude shows up at a lady's doorstep, a woman who her son died. She was in the army.
Current timeline?
Yeah,
or?
Current day, modern day. Okay. Although it's kind of made sort of like an 80s movie, but it is modern day. So this dude shows up at this woman's house and says, hey, I know your son died in the military. I was in the same platoon. I was with your son.
Okay.
And then they even go inside and look, here's a picture of us. And they have on their wall, here's a picture of me on your wall with your son. So he offers to stick around for a couple of days and help him out because they're still getting over it.
Fair enough.
And then shit goes crazy.
Shitball's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that is awesome. So definitely check that one out. Paul Hine liked it. Thanks for letting us know. Remember, Drew, I think I did this. I don't know if I did this last week or the week before. I was trying to work on a new segment, Chris Reads Tweets, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have a tweet to read.
It was weird.
I don't have any tweets here, but I do have something else to read. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to modify the segment. I wrote things, but I'll change it to stuffs.
Stuffs.
I like stuffs.
Better. Yeah.
Chris Reads Stuffs off the internet. Because that's what I'm going to do here. I was just dicking around online, checking out some new trailers. This week they put out a trailer, the first official full trailer for Mad Max Fury Road.
So ooh. Crazy.
Then it's a crazy fucking trailer, Elijah.
I'm going to have to pull this up right now.
You can go ahead and check that out there. So I was watching a trailer, and then for some reason I scrolled down. I think I was trying to like see what was underneath it, like directly underneath. But then I happened to look to the right. And there was a big old comment on the side. A big
that
block
said.
Comment that I just had to read it. I hate reading comments. No one should read comments. There's no good discourse in the comments on web pages.
But
comments
this one is what? Is it poignant or funny or stupid?
How about
or...
I read it and then you can let me know?
Okay.
All right. This is a comment on the Mad Max Fury Road trailer on YouTube from user Ricardo ESX. Let's not knock this guy, because obviously English is not his first language.
Okay.
But that is going to add to the humor. Also, just so you guys can picture this, the whole comment, all caps,
I comprende.
And I'm going to try to read it as he wrote it, i.e. using all the commas and ellipses.
Okay, so all the improper punctuation.
Challenge is on, Chris. What do you got?
Here we go. The Mel Gibson one was a shit. This is even worse. Why to make a bad plot movie? And why to make a remake of bad movie? Hollywood is so doomed. They don't have original ideas. The only good idea of Hollywood in 2 years is Jurassic World, and all retards complain about it. They make the worst remake ever, and all retards say, "Ooh, this is incredible!" 2 exclamation points.
Oh, is this a retarded haiku?
It could be, by someone who doesn't know what a haiku is for sure, which would then add to the retardedness.
Exactly. I mean, this is how it flows. This is like, really.
Ricardo continues, "Ah, stupid customers. Unbelievable. Dislike. With all my channels for sucking so bad.
With all my channels.
Dislike with all my channels."
Hey, he may be talking about his base. His 12, so many channels.
I have no idea.
Channel 13, 14, 20, who knows?
And he's using them all to dislike.
I mean, dude, I've got like 1,500 channels.
Are you going to use them all to dislike something?
Probably not.
See, that's a Ricardo.
That's a lot of work.
Ricardo gets it, guys. He gets it. Why? Why?
He's wrong, though.
Guys, why make a bad plot movie?
Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think this is one of those, though.
And why to make a remake of bad movie?
Well, they made multiple Mad Max Fantastic Four.
And it's not a remake.
Mad Max was awesome.
Mad Max was awesome.
And no, can we not talk about the Fantastic Four movies?
Well, that's a any reason of them? As to why not.
Dislike with all my channels.
All your channels.
Okay, so we just took a quick break there, purely not for a technical reason. I swear to God, everything here is working perfectly fine.
Top of the line equipment here instead
of
McChrystal.
Top of the line. We took a break so Elijah could check out the Mad Max Fury Road trailer.
Oh my goodness! Let me tell you what it is all right here. All right, now imagine if somebody went out of the way to make a post-apocalyptic like video game, kind of like Borderlands on steroids with. Like cars with weapons and people killing each other.
Just insanity.
Then you know what? Let's just go ahead and like make a movie about it. Bam! There you go. Let's go ahead and throw some tornadoes down in between things fighting against each other, things blowing up, blood, mayhem. I am a huge fan.
You're into it. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So Mad Max Fury Road that comes out June 2015.
Yes, we're definitely going
to
see that.
So looking forward to that one. Faux show.
I just wanted to see a young Mel Gibson like walk by somewhere, but I did not see that.
CG,
the only thing a CG Mel Gibson,
kind of like the Schwarzenegger. I want to see the young Mel Gibson. I just want to see it somehow.
Yeah.
Right before his car blows up.
Well, instead they just went straight up recast, not a remake, but a recasting, and with Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's a good choice.
Actually, that I would never have thought of that person, but upon seeing that, it's just like.
So, yeah.
It kind of feels like it fits. It belongs.
You could be a Max.
Yeah, it's just because he's rugged enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we got to go. For some reason, the last few years, we've had to leave our shores to find the badass dudes. You know, your Joel Edgerton.
That's the Bond syndrome.
Your Christian Bale.
That's just the Bond syndrome.
You think so?
Yeah, because everybody associates Bond with being the true badass.
But even then, we're.
So,
it's been a while since we've had our Schwarzeneggers and Stallones and Chuck Norrises. Now we have.
What's the closest thing lately? Bourne?
Matt Damon, even then, he had to convince people of it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, no, but don't get me wrong. He did a hell of a good job with it.
The reason why we don't have replacements for those guys is because those old fuckers are still around.
Not allowing themselves to be replaced?
They're still making these awful movies.
Our badass actors are now Liam Neeson and Denzel Washington.
Who are old-ass men.
They're old. Keanu Reeves just hit 50.
Old man.
Made one of his best movies.
Seriously, John Wick was awesome.
Yeah. When I see Taken 3, I'm expecting him to pick up his oxygen bottle and throw it at somebody and shoot it. You know what I mean?
It's crazy.
Are we really going... I mean...
Yes, we are.
All right, all the guys who drive Corvettes, you're going to love this movie.
On Facebook, I ask for people, questions, topics, whatever you want to hit us up with. I got one from my brother. My brother's good for hitting us up with stuff every now and then. Interesting things, I think. He writes on Facebook, "I need both you guys to publicly state your own positions to the legendary but not bevoed 10 questions that has frequently baffled many artists of our generation."
Okay.
He said both of us, but Elijah obviously didn't include you.
So we're on the record here.
Here we go. The bevoed questionnaire. As heard on the Inside the Actor Studio with James Lipton, where it says the whole no bivavu boye dukutal
blah blah blah.
So here we go. 10 questions. This is not the lightning round. This is something else, and we'll all three be answering your questions. We'll do it one at a time. We'll go around this way. So we'll start with Drew. What is your favorite word?
fuck.
What is your favorite word, Elijah?
Oh, you did.
Hey, oh. You can have the same one.
No, I have to go, probably goddammit.
Goddammit. See, fuck is a good one.
It covers everything. I mean, it's good. It's bad. It's.
I won't be a hippie about it.
Because you can go like you fuckity fuck fuck fucking a fuck. You can just cover it.
I'm gonna go the hippie route. My favorite word. I think more of a concept is love because that makes the world work. If it wasn't for that,
are you making fun of someone?
No, absolutely not. Oh. Number two. What is your least favorite word?
Sure, if I have a least favorite word.
We'll pick one that you don't like.
I'm not really partial to. I don't know.
Hey, you jumped on fuck right away. You have a favorite, so let's see what your least favorite might be.
This is easy.
How can you not like a word?
Just pick a word.
I mean,
we'll come back to you. Elijah, what's your least favorite word?
Cute.
Cute? Okay. Yeah, it's the word cute. All right.
Isn't that cute? It's so condescending.
My least favorite word would be... No. That's my least favorite word.
Hey, can I have that raised?
No.
No. Fuck you.
Exactly. There comes the favorite word. Drew, your least favorite word.
The whole string.
Vegetarian.
All right, there you go. Number three. Vegan. Exactly.
Just vegetarian.
Number three, what turns you on?
Food?
What turns you on, Elijah?
Oh my god.
I know, it's like where to start?
DSLs. Oh, sorry.
Alright. He really likes that internet service.
By the way, the CenturyLink?
Yeah, I'm calling them tomorrow to cancel.
Yeah, they're not a...
I already switched the Xbox One over to the broadband. CenturyLink sucks the cock.
They're not a...
I can't even play. It's worthless.
They're not sponsoring the show, so...
Sorry.
What turns me on, women... that was a Drusa Cogburn song right there. We're going to have to come back to the Bernard Pivot questionnaire in a minute. But first, we got to do Drusa Cogburn versus the world.
Uh-oh.
Drew is 12-6, right?
Yeah.
Beast, 12-6, Elijah. This guy's...
According to the sheet.
How exactly is this going?
This is what this goes.
It's you and me in a battle to the death.
You guys in a battle...
like when I hunt tigers in Africa.
In exactly. A movie trivia battle to the death. We're going to play a game. I come up with a different game every week. Pretty simple game. Always self-explanatory. And then we'll just see who wins.
Alright.
This week's game, we've done this before, is called Think of the Children. I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me the rating. Is it rated G, PG, PG-13, R, NC-17. Those are your options.
Okay.
All right. P, PG, PG-13, R, NC-17. Since Drew won the epic game last week. I had two people go head-to-head against each other just for the privilege of seeing who would lose to Drusa Cogburn.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, there's a lot of losing. None done on my part.
None, except when we played Dirty Bastard.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What do we have?
All right, so I'm going to let you, Drew, pick first. Winner's out. Do you want Group A or Group B?
I'm going to go with Group A this week.
Okay. I'll give you the movie. You tell me the rating. Number one, Batman. The 1989 Batman.
PG.
PG-13. PG-13. Number two, Wall-E.
G.
That's correct. Number three, The Passion of the Christ.
R.
Correct. Number four, Bad Lieutenant.
R.
Incorrect. NC-17. Number five, Rain Man.
PG-13.
Incorrect. That is R rated.
Oh, I smell opportunity.
You got two out of five. You got to get three right. Here we go, Elijah. I give you the movie. Tell me the rating. Number one, Meet the Fockers.
Meet the Fockers would be PG-13.
That is correct. Number two, Orgasmo.
Holy hell, I have no idea what that is. Let's go ahead and say R.
It is NC-17.
Okay.
It's the very first South Park guys movie.
Okay.
Number three, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one that came out this year.
PG-13.
That's correct. Number four, Three Men and a Baby.
PG-13.
That is incorrect. It's PG.
I thought so.
And number five, Beverly Hills Cop 2.
R.
That is correct. You got three out of five.
Oh, yeah. That's how you do it.
We got a winner. Congratulations, Elijah. One for the world. That puts Drew at 12-7 for the year. 12-7.
Oh, and also, speaking of competition, just to give an update to everyone, what's going on with the fantasy football league?
And the Crespo Diso Football League.
Yeah, the Crespo Diso Fantasy Football
League,
which is the show league.
You guys are in it.
I'm about to be knocked out of the playoffs.
And we can go ahead and let people know, before you get into it, out of 14 teams... the team to do the absolute worst was my team. Go ahead, Elijah.
I bow to your wisdom in such matters.
Good job, sir.
No, all right. Just to give a league update at the moment. Currently, we have four teams currently in contention, and we are in the championship games.
We have three teams. I am no longer in contention.
I was gonna.
Well,
like
it is these two guys to see who goes into the final. You know, and what's the score? What's
right now? Score? It's 69-134.
Well, it's better than last week. Last week I was 169-114.
This guy.
I completely just this guy. His mom called me saying he was sorry.
Elijah okay? here, Team of Destiny most likely.
All right, but no. You got this Theron guy.
Oh, Theron? Yeah,
that guy. He's been lurking all year.
Yeah, he has been.
That guy.
Shout out to Theron.
Let me tell you. And also, it's actually funny. He's playing against Rufus Leakin, which is a co-worker of mine.
Oh, is that dude? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that is the quality assurance representative for all the Wawas in the southeastern United States.
And he's in our league.
That's just awesome. Just wanted to know, it's one of the people I work with and friends. That's I'm in the baking business myself.
That's pretty funny.
That's why I'm the Muffin Man. And currently, we have myself versus the Cogburn Calvary, the Muffin Man, 134-269. And the other relevant game this week would be Theron's team versus Rufus's Leakin. Mm-hmm. I hope his roof is not leaking.
I hope it's not.
I'm just saying.
In Florida, it's terrible.
No, he just did have a pool put in, though. Anyways, moving on. It's 97-42. Jesus Christ.
Man, a bunch of blowouts in the football.
What's going on over here?
Football Crespediso.
Does he have people yet to play? Oh. But regardless, the moment it is looking like the Cogburn's Calvary are falling onto the pike storm of the Muffin Man.
That's a shame. That's a shame, Drew.
Hey, it happens. I really don't know what the hell I'm doing anyway.
You know what?
So much further than I did.
Every year I'm surprised I got as far as I did.
I'm going to have to take a step back here, though. Upon looking at the scoring and roster, he still has four players yet to play.
Who, Drewster Cogburn's?
But my four all those four players are only on two teams. There's no way I can get the 80 points I need.
Bullshit.
You never know.
I can't do it. It's not possible.
We'll find out.
Last week I had one guy get me 40 points.
I need each of my players to get 20 points.
That could happen.
I mean, it's possible.
It's possible.
No, it's don't get me wrong. I wish you the best of luck.
With that kind of attitude, Drew, nothing's going to happen.
It's not probable.
But you got Kenny Stills and Jermaine Graham and whoever Jay Matthews is and...
All right, here we go. Let's get back into the PIVO questionnaire. What's your zone? We all did that. For Drew, it was food. For you, it was DSLs. And for me, it's just women in general. Number four, Drew, what turns you off?
Stupidity.
Elijah.
Oh, God. He just took it right out of my mouth. Ignorance.
I'm going to go with ignorance as well. Number five, Drew, what is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Elijah.
Fuck.
I'm going to say titties, because that's just fun to say.
Titties
is it's not a curse word, but you're not allowed to say it. Not allowed to say it on the radio. FCC has declared it.
Really?
You can't say titties on the radio.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So that's why I like saying titties.
So it's like, oh, my God. Like, your nipples are also called titties.
You can't say it on the radio.
Oh, my God.
I can't say that.
So I can go titties?
You can
say breasts and areola.
You can say breast scenario as long as it's in the medical context.
Yep. But you can't say titties and nipples.
So can I say rod?
You can't say tits and nips.
Like anus, and that's okay?
It depends, I guess, on the context.
I mean, just wondering.
It can't be in a sexual context.
No, sexual context. Yeah.
Not on the air, at least.
Yeah, exactly. For puritanical.
I can make it sound like a GNC thing.
Number six, Drew. What sound or noise do you love?
Oh, God.
Oh, the sound of bacon in a pan.
Oh, Elijah?
That little moan, her back quivers.
There you go. I would say music. I love music. Number seven. What sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of like a multitude, like a full restaurant. The sound of a full restaurant.
The din of a restaurant.
I hate it.
All right, Elijah.
Oh, goodness. The sound I hate would have to be anybody going,
Elijah!
At work. Oh, my God. And it happens way too often.
I would say the sound I hate is the sound of a phone ringing. But it's got to be like the loud, obnoxious phone. Like, ring, like old school
like
ring.
The one who wants to be like the old school ring on their phone to think it's like
if people
and
use
cool.
that ringtone, yeah, actually, if they use that ringtone,
I need to amend my statement. It's nails on a chalkboard.
No, you just said nails on a chalkboard.
It's the worst thing.
That's been empirically proven to be one of the worst sounds
almost
for the years.
Like a given, really? Because I compare everything to that.
Yeah, right. That's a standard. That's the standard. Number eight, Drew. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Some sort of How about what I went to school for? Graphic design.
Graphic design. All right, Elijah.
Cardiovascular surgery.
Mm-hmm. Intense. I would say filmmaking, right? Well, I'd like to try my hand at directing. That'd be interesting. That is a profession. Number nine, what profession would you not like to do?
Garbage man.
Oh, God. Anything government.
I would say the poor guy that's got to clean the bathrooms at the theme park.
Ooh.
Working at a theme park, that's what you're doing, cleaning the bathrooms? Ew. All that fun around you?
Hey, I employ his dad. Be nice.
Okay, that's fine. People got to do the job. I'm just saying that's not the one I want to do.
I'm fine.
Especially as a profession. Number 10, finally. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I hope he would say, I forgive you.
Okay. All right, Elijah.
You were right.
Okay. I would hope that he would say, it's all good, bro.
But you see, for me, he couldn't say it. You were right. Because if he told me that I was right, then he wouldn't exist.
I wasn't
done. And he wouldn't be able to tell me that.
I wasn't done with my answer.
Sorry.
I was saying,
That was fun. A little contested there. Cooking.
That's
the banana. By the way, just want to throw this out there. I've known Drew about 10 years. Mm-hmm. I've known Chris over here, I think about 10 years, about the same amount of time. I've always been like the friend or associate in the background. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, just letting people know the relationship. Yeah, that's fine.
That's true.
Yeah, we don't just let anyone on this guy.
Yeah, I know. It's just like stuck in life. If you've ever heard like ice in the glass in the background,
yeah,
that was me making a scotch. Yeah,
he is
walking by.
He is the walking ice.
And also, like during the afternoon, you hear "Go Miami" or "Fuck." That means I'm watching my game.
The compressor gets all that stuff out of there.
Oh, okay.
So I got the compressor going.
But you know,
all the audio dynamics and normalization of audio. It works. Not movie related, but you know, I just figure I like to throw this out there. It's an experience I had, a first time I've ever done something like this.
All right.
Just the other day, I did one of these sleuth mystery dinner show things.
You know, I've been invited to do those things. I mean, what about like all of us going and doing it one night? Seriously, and talking about it later.
Well, Chris is going to let us know about it before we make our decision.
This is the first time I've ever done something like this. A while ago, I did a dinner theater. Which is where it's a big theater, sit down, ate food, and then there was a show going on. But this is more of an interactive thing.
Yeah, that sounds
cool. They're walking around, they're talking to you and everything. Yeah, I even grabbed that. You can go ahead and look at that little brochure thing that
I pocketed.
This was over on iDrive down there, and it was just, I don't even want to say how it happened. It was just a situation where I was busted there with other people.
All right.
Okay.
And it was like, we're doing an event, here we go. And I was there, and I was like, when we rolled up to it, and I saw this mystery sleuth dinner. I was like, oh.
It's been a staple in the area for a while.
I know. It's been around for a long time. And actually, when I was in there, they had a big display that said on TripAdvisor.com, it's the one of the shows that they do there. Their improv show is the number 5 attraction to see in Orlando.
I've always heard really good things.
Not the thing that I saw. It's their like Friday, Saturday night improv show.
Okay.
What I saw was a... It was a mystery thing. So the hall was, there was like, I don't know, like 35 of us. Mm-hmm. And it was just us, and we were a big group, so we knew each other, right? So it was a little more loose. And I think that works better than if it's a room full of strangers, a bunch of people reserving and showing up. Because people are going to be a little more reserved.
Yeah, of course. It's team-based.
Yeah, exactly. But since we were all in there, people were more willing to like engage with the actors and joke around with them.
Okay.
So it actually ended up being kind
of
cool.
So it wasn't one of those things where like you open an envelope and it said, this is what you are, or something like that.
No, but one person did get pulled out like all the way in the beginning. It was like, hey, Ryan, all you got to do is wear this hat. And then you're going to be the bus driver. And you don't got to do anything. You just sit there in a chair and we'll talk to you every now and then. And that's all you had to do. You know, and he joked around with him. Then another guy got pulled out and they made him, he was the milkmaid where he had to help someone milk some cows or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he left the room. When he came back, they put like a bonnet on him and like a plaid, like smock type thing. And he had
so
a bucket. Avoid the milkmaid, the dairy queen role, as they called it. But it was funny, though. It was actually really funny. I went into it like thinking this is going to be so awkward and weird, but I actually ended up enjoying it. The people that do the acting, you know, I mean, they were all fine.
It's one of those, you have to have a good mindset walking into this. And you know what? I'm going to walk into this. I'm just going to try this new crazy thing and just see where it goes.
Well, you know what? I even didn't have that kind of mindset, and I still really enjoyed it. I still ended up liking it. I thought it was a fun experience. You know, the people were funny. They were, and a lot of it was improv based because it was based on questions that we were asking. So they had to like be on their feet with their responses. And then there's a part where the whole story plays out in front of us. Someone dies. And then at the end, they're like, all right, you guys have to come up with questions to ask the suspects. So, you know, we'll take a break for a while. Mm-hmm. We'll come back in 10 minutes. And then they came back. And we had to ask some questions. And they were making jokes based on that. And then it ended up being the guy who solved the murder. It was me.
Good job, Chris.
I solved the murder. I got a magnifying glass as my prize.
Oh my good! I see the award right now. It's gold covered.
Gold covered.
Laden. And look at that. Oh my goodness. You know what? That 87-year-old granny right now is so jealous. Like, oh my goodness.
Really?
She wants that. This. This is what the Pharaoh would look at this TV guide with.
The Pharaoh. You know what I'm saying? John Turturro Pharaoh. Pharaoh Turturro.
That's seriously? Good stuff right there.
Yeah, that's the one. That's what I got. I got a magnifying glass. For detecting stuff. Drew, I'm a detective now. Don't you get it? I solved the murder. It was murder. And they had to say that like 10 times.
My favorite part is he's acting like this, but this is the guy who would have somebody come in later at work just to tell him and call and say, who did it in Law & Order?
Yes.
This is the same guy. Yes. He'd be like, you need to call me when I get to work mm-hmm. and tell me the bitch did it or she didn't.
This guy loves procedurals.
Only because I wanted to see if the hostess would actually come up to me in a full restaurant and tell me either A, the bitch did it, or A, the bitch didn't. And I wanted Bill to make sure that she said it verbatim. And yep. she did, too. She said, Bill called and said, the bitch did it. Did it? And I was like, yes,
I
knew it.
Stupefied look, and all of a sudden,
she had no idea what the hell I was talking about. It was awesome. There you go.
So, just saying about any of this like gruff talk about the sleuth theater. I know he's a fan of the.
I'm not going to a sleuth theater any time of the day of the week, but I will watch Law & Order for 8 hours straight.
Well, I know. No, what gets me is it's on Netflix with no commercials, and I'm like, dude,
it's not the same.
You don't have to watch it on TV.
It's not the same.
Everybody, he's like, no. I'm like, dude, you don't have to.
Nope, it's not the same. It's not the same.
I give up.
But when you watch it on the Sundance Channel, they'll curate it for you, so there'll be 5 hours of Law & Order, but they all thematically make sense.
Or they pick out the ones with actors.
Like, oh, here's the one with Liam Neeson before he was Liam Neeson.
Here's the one with Samuel L. Jackson. Here's the one with so-and-so.
And then they'll play them all in a row.
You know what, gentlemen? You're so right. If there was only a service that would provide you all those episodes with the synopsis of each episode before you chose to watch it,
And then you could sit there and you could sit there and flip through 60 synopses.
Oh, I'm saying, if you wanted to find something.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'd rather have it just given to me. I don't want to have to work for it.
I'm just slapping my face right now.
Just give me the Law & Order. Okay. That's all I want.
Okay. Fair enough. Better off Ted's better.
So I actually thought the sleuth thing was it was fun.
Good for you, Chris.
It was fun. It was surprisingly fun.
I am not interested.
How did this come about? Like, what brought you to
this? I said I wasn't going to get into that, so I'm not going to get into that. How it happened.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it happened.
It happened. That's all that matters.
It happened.
Do you know there's also places
they gave me my own pitcher of beer?
Hey.
But it was Bud.
Oh.
Punch a gift horse in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you bitch, it's not Stella?
They're like, Bud or Bud Light. I was like,
Bud, I guess.
This is like, if you're on fire, I really have to piss on you. Mm-hmm. Is this really,
do I have to piss on myself or pour vinegar in my eyes? What's going on here? All right. So,
you know, there's also different rooms downtown, like the mystery rooms where you tear them apart to figure out the word out of a maze.
Oh, that's weird.
That's a thing going on right now as well.
Weird.
Yeah, Orlando. Plenty of tourist shit.
Okay, I am looking for this because it is now time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. So glad you made it. This will be better than the last one. What'd you say? Speaking to the microphone, Elijah.
Oh, I'm just saying my better half sometimes used to work at the set theater of the Mystery Sleuth variety.
It's a small world, man.
It's a small world after all. I mean, it's a tweet, heard us, like before we even went on air or distributed it. I already got it on my phone, instantaneous. Mm-hmm. I don't know sure how, but she's like, I used to work there.
It's very interesting.
And that doesn't really surprise me.
Well, like I said, it was cool. The people there were really funny. I enjoyed it. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. Billy D's in the movies. Here we go. Billy D, our New York City show correspondent, horror expert. You can find him on Twitter at I Love Blood.
Did you say horror expert?
He is our horror expert as well as a horror expert. He does both.
So he knows how to
He knows it all.
Dude, if he can make it, if he can make it a tax write off, that's all I want to know.
He can make miracles happen. That guy, all right. That Billy D. You're right. Hey guys, I got a chance to check out something cool this week at a screening.
Lucky bastard, screening.
The horror comedy What We Do in the Shadows. It's about vampires sharing a flat in Wellington, New Zealand. Stars some of the Flight of the Conchords and other comedy actors. To my knowledge, not many people have seen this in the States yet. It comes out wide in February. Do yourself a favor and see it when you get the chance. The less you know, the better on this one. Stay cool, Billy D.
No, all right.
Is acid or peyote required?
I don't know if it's required.
It probably wouldn't hurt.
I'm just saying.
Well, it could hurt if it's a little children type of situation.
Oh,
wait, is it rated PG?
Well, I mean, if it, I would say horror comedy from New Zealand, it'll probably end up being an R-rated film. Mm. What We Do in the Shadows. So Billy D says, keep an eye out for that one. Should be hitting R.
How do I keep an eye out for What You Do in the Shadows?
Keep your eye out.
You're in the shadows. I mean, right? I can't see what you're doing over there.
What kind of secret there? I'm lost, too. What's going on here?
Born in the shadows. I was born in it.
He's like, I have a Sean Connery voice.
If you're
going to
do it right. Shut up. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to do it right, Chris.
I was born in it. In the shadows, choose to conquer.
Thank you, Bane.
Here we go. We also got an email from Rage Against Twitch. He just sent us some news stories. I picked out the first one.
Thou shalt not pass.
Thou shalt not pass. Have you heard my Lord of the Rings audition tape, Trista?
No.
That's the next one. We're gonna
That's the next one.
Bane as Gandalf. Bane as Gandalf.
How about we just do Bane as Ian McKellen?
Bane as Ian McKellen.
We can do Gandalf. We can do Magneto. We can do some Richard III.
Some Gods and Monsters.
Yeah.
And the Keep. Michael Mann's the Keep.
It'll be really weird.
Okay. My face really.
The randomizer. No, that was the Banemizer. Everything's the something-izer around here.
Really?
Crespito's a randomizer, yeah. The Banemizer. Crespito's a Banemizer.
Oh, my why God. Why is everything izers around here?
Izers, and misers. Rage Against Twitch sent us a couple of stories. I pulled two of them because it ties into some of the other stuff as well. First off, do you remember the other day we were talking about Darren Aronofsky?
Yes.
What's he up to?
Yeah.
Right? We want to know what's he up to. Darren Rage Aronofsky.
Telling us? Is he going to tell us?
We got a little thing right here. Darren Aronofsky is the guy who most recently directed Noah this year.
Okay.
His last movie was Black Swan, the ballet movie with Natalie Portman, and then one before that was Wrestler. The Wrestler.
Yeah, I watched none of those.
You haven't seen any of those? Wrestler and Black
Swan. The Wrestler
Swan,
was the only one that had me kind of interested. The Black Swan thing was like, this is a bitch flick.
Mm,
and the last
so
one.
It's so not, though.
I'm just telling you, outside.
I know, I understand. And you know what?
I just want to tell everybody out there, I am not a movie aficionado or anything. I'm more of like a normal guy.
Sure, fine. I think you would enjoy both those movies, though. Yeah. The Black Swan is closer to a horror film than like a chick flick. So.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's dark. It's twisted. It's fucked up.
It gets crazy.
I don't doubt it. I heard the 50 Shades of Grey is coming out. Women like getting fucked up.
Yeah,
that's,
they do.
I mean, that's what I get with it.
I'm not saying
the movie's going to be so horrible.
I'm not saying it hurt. They just like getting fucked up.
Yeah, that trailer looks crazy. Darren Aronofsky. This is according to the playlist. Darren Aronofsky, Eyes, true story, serial killer picture, The Good Nurse. And I'll just jump right to the synopsis. It's about registered nurse Charlie Cullen, who was quickly dubbed the Angel of Death by the media. December 2003, he was arrested. He was no mercy killer, nor was he a simple monster. He was a favorite son, husband, beloved father, best friend, and celebrated caregiver, implicated in the deaths of as many as 300 patients. He was also perhaps the most prolific serial killer in American history. So he was a registered nurse who was just killing people in hospitals for... it says here he did it for 16 years, spanning 9 hospitals across New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Well, see, now, if I was looking at it like from a capitalist point of view, he just saved us how much money?
Yeah, I guess. But some of those people didn't want to die.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure some of them were dying. I'm sure some of them weren't. Sure sometimes he just kind of, you know, did whatever.
Well, they did say here he's no mercy killer, nor was he a simple monster. So they're going to explore the nuance.
Because
he wasn't killing these people just to put them out of their misery, but he wasn't also doing it just because he's a psychopath, because the other aspects of his life were there. So we'll see. When the movie comes out, we'll see, you know, what interests Aronofsky about it. I'm sure it's because he's no... It's not a simple serial killer type thing. It's medicine. I don't know. We'll see. It's Aronofsky. And then the other story he points me to, there was that big Sony hack.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of information's come out of the Sony hack. Here's one thing that came out. Hacked Sony emails claim these five women forward to Ghostbusters Reboot. They're doing an all-female Ghostbusters.
Let's see if we were right.
Directed by the guy who did Bridesmaids.
It better be sponsored by Victoria's Secret.
Nope.
Not interested.
Not with some of these people. The names that they have in this email are Emma Stone,
mm-hmm.
who was called Stacy in the Spider-Man.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy.
Okay. Called it.
Worked together already. Paul Feig. So and she's the hot comedian right now anyway.
Kristen Wiig.
No.
Really?
Kristen Wiig didn't make the five
here. Interesting.
Amy Schumer.
Okay.
I see that.
She's an up-and-comer. Plus, yeah. She has a movie that she wrote that called Trainwreck that Judd Apatow is directing. And I think it's the first movie he's directing that he didn't write. So obviously he read something in her screenplay. I was like, this is...
He wants to work.
Yeah, I want to do this. So
all right.
She's about to blow up. Lizzie Kaplan is the chick on HBO show Masters of Sex. That's HBO, right? And did you ever see Cloverfield, Elijah?
Nope.
No, how about...
She was in it.
Have you seen the commercials for the interview? The reason for the Sony hack, the James Franco, Seth Rogen movie about the assassin?
Yeah, the CIA chick?
Yeah.
It's her.
That's her.
Okay.
The one with the glasses. And the fifth name, and I'm telling you, not for comedic reasons, but for financial reasons, this name puts it over the top. If this is true, and she's going to be in this movie, and by all accounts, this is an email from the head of Sony, Jennifer Lawrence.
Really?
Fucking the biggest actress going now. Because she is it. She is as hot as it gets.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, with the Hunger Games, with the X-Men as Mystique.
She like has that down to earth, but I'm fucking Madonna.
She's like straddling both things. Yeah.
If she's in this movie's going to have a fucking huge budget.
With her, just to pay her. They're going to have to pay her $10, $15 million just to be in the movie.
But, too, as soon as they insert her into the movie, you add 30, 35 40, 50, million. Yeah,
so what? So this is going to be an all-female action comedy?
I'm thinking if they put her in it, they might go a little more action-y. Yeah.
If you look at it, though, it's going with a cult classic. Well, they're old school people.
But they are
50, 60 years old are still going to like want to see it.
But they are also they're doing a weird thing. It's a reboot, so they want to kind of separate themselves from the original Ghostbusters, but they also want to call back to it as well. They're going to try to straddle that line.
That's why they have to cash in on the first one. The sequel sucked, but the first one they can cash in on by bringing the nostalgic and all the newcomers, the teens.
And then after that, just crank them out.
And once they make that big budget, then the next couple of pieces of shits will come out and...
Absolutely possible.
I mean, this is how I see it happening.
All right, so moving into movie news, a smooth segue, because the first couple stories have more leaked information from the Sony hack. The Sony hack is a terrible thing because they put out a lot of very sensitive information regarding the employees, their salaries, where they live, stuff like that.
Correspondent about the president.
Yeah, and a lot of people...
A whole bunch of stuff.
Well, yeah, that shit. Well, I'm talking more about the lower level employees, you know, the actors. They didn't want anything to do with this. But the shit from the CEOs and the producers, that's fucking fascinating. And I love that it's out there because we're really getting a look into some of the going ons. And then we can see, reading some of this shit, it's like they're just a company just like any other company, i.e. They don't know what they're doing. They're flying by the seat of their pants. For example, Scott Rudin, huge producer in Hollywood, won tons of awards for making... He's got a reputation for putting together the right material with the right filmmakers and making good movies. He is pretty good at what he does. He's also known for being maybe the biggest dick in Hollywood.
Sweet.
It's possible that he may be, and I actually, lives in New York maybe? Anyway, he might be one of the fucking worst people ever. He's the type of guy who it's like almost like a comedy where he has five assistants working at him for all times and one person does something wrong and he'll fire all of them. And then they'll go downstairs and they'll go to the coffee shop across the street and they'll sit there and they'll wait for like the office manager to call him and say, okay, come back. You're all hired again. He's that type of dick. They'll throw shit. They'll throw phones and laptops at assistants, but he'll throw it at their feet so he doesn't hit them because he doesn't want to get sued.
That's probably pretty smart because I would sue the shit out of you yourself.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm surprised they can't sue anyway. That's the thing. It's Scott Rudin. He still makes tons of money and makes lots of movies and has big connections. So if you tough it out with this guy, a lot of people who have been his assistants have gone on to get really good jobs after working for him, and he knows it. So that's why he acts like that. He's an asshole.
It's kind of like how the Backstreet Boys got made.
Yeah, pretty much.
Paid their dues.
So with that in mind, there was this huge email battle between him and the head of Sony over the making of the Steve Jobs movie that they're making now, right? Yeah. That Christian Bale was going to be Jobs for a while and then he backed out. Mm-hmm. And Angelina Jolie's Cleopatra. She's been trying to make a Cleopatra movie for a while. Okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
That could be good. Now, here's the thing. The emails have been going on. Scott Rudin was like telling Sony, drop Cleopatra. Drop it. It's going to be a bomb. Don't waste your time with that. And then plus, he was pissed. They wanted David Fincher, the director, to direct their Jobs movie. And he was interested. But Jolie, who's doing Cleopatra at Sony, wants David Fincher for her movie.
She could direct it herself and her
she
name
could,
alone.
She could direct it herself. Now she could. But yeah. She still wanted David Fincher to do it. David Fincher expressed interest. So they were in the same company. They were trying to get this one guy to do two movies. And it was fucking everything up.
Oh, I mean, there's only so much time in a day, right?
Exactly. And Scott Rudin was getting pissed. And he wrote this at one point about Angelina Jolie. His emails accuse Jolie of being a manipulator and a control freak who treats the film studio as, quote, her fantasy toy box. Wrote Rudin, quote, I'm not destroying my career over a minimally talented, spoiled brat who thought nothing of shoving this off her plate for 18 months so she could go direct the movie. I have no desire to be making a movie with her or anybody that she runs and that we don't. She's a camp event and a celebrity, and that's all. And the last thing anybody needs is to make a giant bomb with her that any fool could see coming.
So he should actually say how he really feels?
Yeah, right, dude.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He does that to a fault.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's just, if you go online and you just search Scott Rudin emails, it is just a treasure trove of insane
just another
ranting
example
and raving.
Of people not realizing any text, email,
well,
all
now,
that. Dude, yeah. I mean, really, do you really want to fuck yourself?
And that's the thing. I mean, like, yeah,
that's what it boils down to.
Is Jolie now like, fuck you, Sony? That's where you're going to be talking about me behind my back?
She could if she wanted to.
Also, information leak from Sony. And now it's been confirmed that they've been trying to make this happen. There's some Spider-Man movement going on. Sony Universal, they own the rights to Spider-Man, right? Marvel, you want Spider-Man back, obviously. Sony was negotiating with Marvel to do like a co-ownership thing.
Okay.
Best thing ever.
Marvel wanted
for us, anyway.
Marvel wanted Spider-Man for Captain America 3.
Yeah.
They couldn't make that happen in time though. Uh-huh. So that might not happen.
Spider-Man is meant to be in the Marvel universe. I mean that's just how it
with all those
works.
Marvel
this
guys.
Is how it works.
But they may make an animated Spider-Man film. Directed by a team of Lord Miller.
Oh, hell yeah. Lord Miller Spider-Man, I'm down.
The guys who did the Lego movie, 21 and 22
We're
Jump
talking
Street.
Like a movie, but not like a TV show, right?
A movie. An animated film.
Okay.
So, which hasn't been done yet. A Spider-Man animated movie hasn't been done yet.
Because I love Star Wars, but the Clone Wars just didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fun. They're fun, but they just, you know.
Sony also trying to get Sam Raimi back as a producer, maybe even a director for future Spider-Man movies.
I mean,
trying to bring
that
him
would
back.
Be awesome. Sinister Six. I mean, they're working on that so Sinister Six. Content.
They're working on a Venom movie.
Well, they made it pretty blatantly obvious going through like the exit of the last Spider-Man movie of like, you know, all the different like enemies, like artifacts and the like windows going by him. I don't know how to say it correctly, but you know, it was there. It's like this is coming.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's so much potential there. So that's what's going on. Sony.
Oh,
it's crazy over there at Sony. There's a lot more information, too.
I heard a rumor. I have no factual background to this whatsoever.
Those are the kind of rumors I like.
Off-the-cuff questions.
Those are the rumors I like.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
Conan the King.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been trying to make that for a while. King Conan. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the one more
Please
than old Terminator. Old,
tell me about that.
More than old Terminator.
That's all
old
we know.
Makes sense.
He's been trying to make it.
Oh. And not just he's been trying to, but there's interest. It's happening.
How would this not be interesting?
That was supposed to be the movie he does after Terminator. So he just finished Terminator. So I'm sure we'll find out soon more movement on King Conan.
This is a personal thing. I'm a huge fan of the old Conan comic book, Savage Sword, and all that good noise.
Right.
So I was curious.
I'm sure it'll be made. Now, whether it'll be good or not, that's another question. But
I'm going to go with no.
Knock on wood.
I'm a homer enough, I'll like it enough. Okay, I'm just going to leave it with that.
Fair enough. keeping with the comic book news, Al Pacino has met with Marvel Films.
What?
Ooh, Al Pacino could be in a comic book movie.
To be the guy in the mirror, walking back. I don't know.
They didn't say. You guys maybe wanna. What do you think he might fit in? There's a rumor that he may be the mentor character in Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, because they're working on that.
Well,
with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, that one like Sherlock dude.
Yes, Sherlock. Exactly. Sherlock will be Doctor Strange.
No, he fits. But he was already in Star Trek.
Well, he's a good actor. He's good.
He was Khan. Yeah,
I want him to be in the new Star Wars and the new Star Trek, just to piss everybody
just
off.
Just like what J.J. Abrams doing. He directed both.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Now, it was just a meeting, but still, he writes, I write with the Marvel guy. It's a Marvel how things happen, quote. And then he laughed. A few minutes later,
I was bought out for 2.5.
Confirmed that the Marvel guy is Kevin Feige, who's the guy that's running Marvel Studios, pretty much. Pacino said it was Feige, and that, quote, I would imagine that either there's something he feels is right for me, and if I feel, and just at that moment, his phone rings, and then he
It was a podcast. To me, this is like a pitch. Mm-hmm. It's like, Al Pacino, please, if you read this, is there any comic character you've ever wanted to be? Please tell me, and that, I'll make it happen.
That could be it, too.
That's exactly what
you're saying. Sure, that could be it. Jumping over to DC, because Drew loves DC.
Yeah, so much.
Jason Momoa has confirmed that he signed a 4-picture deal to play Aquaman.
Oh, God.
Which one's that guy?
This dude. He was in Game of Thrones, first season.
Oh, Khal Drogo? No. That's a guy from Stargate Atlantis, where he first got his roots.
Was he on Stargate Atlantis? Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, cool. I'm the old sci-fi nerd there for a minute. No, that's where he got his first kudos. He was in Stargate Atlantis for like 9 seasons.
Wow.
One of the originating characters.
Okay.
The Sci-Fi Channel built that guy.
And he is Aquaman in Batman versus Superman, colon Dawn of Just Ice.
Man, I thought Aquaman was white.
They're going for
uber
a,
white.
Yeah, he was. I mean, in the comics, he's uber white blonde hair. Here, they're going for a huge badass. Like, well, dude,
I mean, even if you watch like the cartoons, Pacific it's Asian. Like he's like some like gayish white guy who sings.
That's why they're going. That's why they went with like the biggest guy they could find.
This guy looks like Last of the Mohicans. I'm going to chop your fucking head off.
They were looking for. That's what they were looking for, a guy that looks like he could beat you up. You know, they didn't want some dude who's like, oh, look at this pathetic little.
But I'm not going to lie though, my inner nerd, I loved him on that show, and I'm glad to see his career's progressing.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. He's got a 4-picture deal.
Wasn't he like the Conan that failed?
Yes, which was not a good movie.
It you know what? I'm trying not to hold it against him for that because I'm a huge Conan fan.
Yeah,
like just like, I felt defiled, but that's beside the
point. Yeah, well, it's not his fault. He did the best he could.
Nah, I know.
The director and the writer just shat all over that thing.
J.J. Abrams needs to do Conan. Listen to me. If you're listening to it right now, J.J., get off your ass and do Conan.
We got a couple of quotes here from a live event that someone tweeted out. So real quick, he said, first tweet, Momoa was hired as Aquaman for a long time before the official release, but had to keep his mouth shut. People were asking for months, are you Aquaman? Are you Aquaman? He kept that up saying, nope. And then one day he was allowed to say, yep.
Yeah, to keep it under wraps. He's going to go to heaven and say, nope.
Jason Momoa has a contract for four movies as Arthur Curry / Aquaman.
Good for him.
Quote, Aquaman will be a badass. Otherwise, they wouldn't cast me for the role. So, Jason Momoa.
Tell me how you really feel, dude.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm a superhero, bitch.
And then when someone asked him who wins, Batman or Superman, he says, quote, why they cannot be friends.
It's me.
So there you go. 4 pictures. Now, that could be, those 4 pictures could be Batman versus Superman, Justice League Part 1, Justice League Part 2, and Aquaman. Aquaman's come out 2018. Those could be the 4 movies.
Well, a lot of people don't appreciate like how strong Aquaman actually is in the comic book world.
Well, as long as it stays in the water, you can control all the whales and stuff. Yeah. Apparently, I don't get how this happens. In Man of Steel, after Superman saves the oil rig when he's still in like Beardo mode, right?
Yeah.
And he saves the oil rig and he's like all out of energy and he falls into the water. There's a shot of like some whales passing by. Apparently, those whales saved him.
Oh, really?
That's a tie-in for Aquaman.
So Aquaman saved Superman.
Aquaman saved Superman before he was Superman.
So you owe me, bitch. Come here.
But then also, apparently, what I heard is Aquaman's going to be in the beginning of this movie, of the Batman vs. Superman, and he's going to be confronting Superman about all the damage done to that Krypton, that world-changing machine that was at the Indian Ocean. It was fucking up the ocean.
Yeah.
So apparently Aquaman's going to be like, Superman, what's up, man? It's my ocean, bro.
Oh, wow.
So, all right, we'll see.
He's like, yo, bro, I'm an alien. I don't give a fuck about your ocean.
And he's like, well, here come the squid. Whoosh. And Superman's like, laser eyes. and Aquaman's like, shit, calamari.
Then, like, the humpback whale goes.
Whale's scary, bro. They scare me. Now, this, I'm going to chalk this into the sounds like shit file, because that's what this sounds like. It sounds horrible. Smallville, massive success. How long was that show on the air? Seven, eight seasons?
For a while.
A long time.
And way I am long. Not going to lie, I liked quite a few seasons.
Like, a lot of people liked it. That's why I was on it for so long. You're wearing a Superman shirt right now. Gotham. Now it's a hit. People are watching it.
I have yet to watch
it. People are watching it. It looks so awful.
People are watching it. Make way for Krypton, guys.
See, my thing is, if it's not on HBO Seriously? Go or Netflix, I just...
Not going to get around to it.
Unless
some of those CW shows
sport,
end up on a Netflix.
Sports, I
follow. David Goyer, the guy who co-wrote the Dark Knight movies with Christopher Nolan.
The good ones, okay.
Yeah, the good ones, but I have a feeling that he's the one who put all the wonky shit in those movies. David Goyer, because his other movies stink, like Blade 3, come on. Yeah. David Goyer and Sci-Fi make Krypton origin story series official. So we're doing a whole TV show based on Krypton. I think it's going to be centered
so
on...
So is that what happens to the give up on Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah. Okay. They're going to the well. THR reports Krypton takes place years before Superman Legend We Know, when the House of El was shamed and ostracized.
Oh, it's going to be like some scandalous episode where people in these crystalline palaces.
It's Smallville.
So it's going to be the first.
It's a Smallville prequel.
So it's going to be the first 30 minutes of the last Superman movie.
Yeah, stretched over years.
Stretched over like 7 years.
Years. This drama, which is in development, follows the Man of Steel's grandfather as he brings hope and equality to Krypton.
Grandfather. So it's not even Kal. It's not even Jor-El.
Nope. It's Jor-El's dad.
Who the?
It's a special administrative assistant who persists through the storyline because this Joe is marketable.
L. It's Joe L. It is.
Yeah,
it's
whatever they make marketable.
It's making that money.
With.
Making that money.
Come on, Supernatural lasted fucking 9 seasons. Who would have saw that coming?
Speaking of making that money, we got Star Wars The Force Awakens coming December 2015.
Dude, I cannot believe how people are bugging out so bad about, oh my God, there's a black guy in a stormtrooper.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit last week.
I'm sorry, I got to say one thing, though. If you don't remember the last movie you saw, he was like a Melanesian, like Pacifican Oceania guy, and now you're flipping out he's black.
Well, I think they're flipping out because they're like all stormtroopers should be clones of this one guy. Says he's even a stormtrooper? Just because he's wearing a suit, he could be a hiding Han Solo.
I read the books
and Luke Skywalker.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Well, the books.
I can outnerd them.
Elijah, the books don't count anymore.
Oh.
They've all been wiped away from canon. Disney, Lucasfilm officially got rid of all the books.
Yeah, they don't exist.
None of it counts.
Really?
It's like they just did the whole King James thing
with
the Bible.
I was so going to say that. Yeah. I was so
now,
you took my segue.
Now,
damn it. That
now
was my
all of those books are considered apocryphal texts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's all Bell and the Dragon from here on out for Star Wars. But speaking of Star Wars.
I need more liquor for that one.
Mark Hamill was doing some press for a stop motion special about something.
He really doesn't do too much anymore, does he?
Because he does projects that are like a lot of voiceover work. He does a lot of animated stuff. You know what I mean? So Star Wars is obviously going to be the biggest project that he's been in for a long time.
Yeah.
Since pretty much Star Wars.
I love... Don't get me wrong. I don't know how to phrase it exactly. I love him to death. He had that car wreck and he would fill out like the spotlight.
Yeah.
It kind of fucked his head up a bit.
His face got a little messed up.
So I'm kind of happy to see him come kind of like back.
Yeah, sure.
A little bit
it's going to be cool to see him as Luke Skywalker again.
Nostalgic.
I got four quotes from him.
Okay.
All about Star Wars. First off, he had to grow a beard for the movie to be older.
Can he do that?
Yeah, apparently he kind of did.
Humans don't do that.
And he writes... Well, not he writes. He said, this is the quote, "This is what I call my contractually obligated beard. Listen, I think they look fine on other people. It's not just me. I mean, I never got used to it. But face foliage is almost a part of the costume, and it does bring a gravitas. Perhaps unearned, but nevertheless, it makes a statement that they wanted to make, and I'm more than happy to oblige them." Then he goes on to talk about the focus of this new movie. "This is about the new generation of characters. I think that's the most important thing. It's the opening act of a whole new approach to storytelling. So I never thought that the stories would be... I never thought I'd be involved in it again, period. And then when George said they wanted to do more, I rightly assumed it wouldn't be our story. Because we had a beginning, a middle, and an end. This must be our offspring and the current generation, with us there lending the kind of support that Peter Cushing and Alec Guinness did in the original." So he knew from right away it's me focusing on other characters. And then from the trailer, it's all other characters. You don't see
it's
Han Solo
be.
Or Luke Skywalker or anyone else or Princess Leia. They're all going to be in the movie.
Well, no. If you actually read the books.
Books don't matter.
Yeah, but if you read the books, though, there are still other people,
I mean,
though. But yeah, they did come up with other stuff.
Because the offspring, the dark fleets, and
they can,
all this.
They can still pull from that stuff. They can make it put into a movie and then it becomes canon once again. You know, they can reintroduce things, is what I'm saying.
You know what? That kind of makes me angry. Because, you know,
all the time and effort you put into
it. You follow this, you read these books, you have the X-Wing saga, you got the Dark Fleece, and you got this, and you got that.
And now they're like,
and all of a sudden he's like, some guy walks around, you know what, all that's like, it's irrelevant, fuck it, start over, what you know is shit.
Well, Disney paid.
It's kind of like,
dude. Disney paid how many billions of dollars to be able to do that?
Disney paid $4 billion to be able to do that.
Well, how
and you know what? It's already made that plus in merchandising and such since then. And they only bought it like 2 years ago. So it's crazy.
I mean, this is how I look at it. I'm like, what?
Crazy how much money.
What?
He also writes, I keep saying rights. He also said that Harrison Ford was super enthusiastic about coming back, and that kind of surprised him. He hadn't talked to Harrison Ford in years, so he wasn't sure how he felt about doing Star Wars movies. And when Harrison Ford got in touch with him, he's like, holy shit, this guy's really into it.
It should be like, why shouldn't you want to? Was there bad terms there? Why wouldn't you want it?
I mean, you know, Harrison Ford is older. Maybe he didn't want to.
He is old.
He's in his early 70s.
This would be like Taken 7.
Yeah, he's like 72, 73
I'm
right
sure
now.
He's a little gun-shy after that Indiana Jones nonsense. Yeah. That did not go well for him.
Yeah, it did not. That's a good point right there. So obviously he read something that was like, well, you know what, this works. And
but then again, if you look at the legacy of somebody starting at a certain point and concluding with the age frame, it'd be kind of like a nice bookend.
Know? Well, we'll talk about more Harrison Ford in a second here. And also real quick, Mark Hamill revealed this droid guy that they show in the trailer, that little ball droid.
Yeah,
that's a practical effect. That's not CG at all.
So I can own one.
Probably one day, I'm sure Disney will make him so you can own him. But Mark Hamill said he was on a set playing with this thing and it was rolling around. And he said it was incredible. First he said, how could you make... Actually, I'll just read the quote. He writes, they never cease to amaze me with what they're able to come up with. I said, how are you ever going to top R2-D2, the most adorable droid in movie history? And then they have this new one. I can't tell you his name, but you saw it in the trailer. And when they were demonstrating how they did this thing live on set, because it's not CG, that's a live prop, I was just amazed. They let me play around with it. I was running it all around the creature shop up in Pinewood. I'm telling you, it's an absolute delight.
I want to play with it.
That looks awesome. That surprised the fuck out of me. Holy shit. So Mark Hamill is excited about Star Wars. Everyone's excited about Star Wars. Speaking of Indiana Jones, the last one wasn't so good.
It was awful.
But it made a ton of money.
The Crystal Skull?
Crystal Skull. And it made a ton of money. So Disney wants to keep making Indiana Jones movies.
Really? Is Shia LaBeouf coming back?
Probably not.
I wouldn't be afraid. Actually,
I wouldn't be opposed to it. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but probably not.
I want to see him pull up with a Transformer.
At the end of the last one, I would have been like, no, I don't want Shia LaBeouf back. But after seeing him in Fury, now I want Shia LaBeouf with crazy mustache. I want mustache LaBeouf back.
Mustache LaBeouf? You know,
what have I missed with this Fury thing?
He's good at it.
He's actually quite good.
He's a good actor.
He has actually depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all I've seen so far is some whiny kind of like...
Yeah, no, he is...
He's a good actor. It's almost the right movie, he's good.
It's almost like he was in The Holes again. That was the only movie I've ever liked him in. Stupid kids movie.
He's good in Disturbia. That's a smaller movie. But the remake of Rear Window, he's pretty good in that. Eagle Eye,
a good war flick can
That can pull it out of people. Yeah. And he was excellent.
He was quite good.
He was excellent. Huh. Here's a quote from Disney's Bob Iger. This is a very telling quote. He says, we'd love to make another Indiana Jones movie, but we're pacing ourselves right now, launching Star Wars first. So if they're pacing themselves, with Harrison Ford getting older by the minute, they're not looking to make another one with Harrison Ford.
So it's got
to
be somebody else.
No, they're like thinking about the bath of gold, trinkets, and money they're going to roll around from Star Wars.
If they put the right actor as Indiana Jones and give it to the right director and it looks right, the movie's going to make... $700 million worldwide, a billion.
Forgive me.
So why would they stop?
Roger Craig for Indiana Jones.
He can't do an American accent though. His American accent work is horrible.
Awful.
Like in Cowboys and Aliens and Dreamhouse. I like Daniel Craig,
He doesn't look good with a cowboy hat.
You know what? Cowboys and Aliens show that too. He doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't look too good with a kind of a big hat. I like him. He could just stick to Bond.
I
don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they stick Chris Pratt in there.
I could see that.
Which one's that guy?
Guardians of the Galaxy, Star-Lord.
Oh, yeah.
He's also going to be in Jurassic World.
Well, dude, you know that just like his career is just
Right now it is blowing up as we speak. This very second it is blowing up.
Right now, as long as we can before he decides to be artsy and it goes to shit.
well,
he already did that. He already did the artsy. I mean, he was on Parks and Rec. He was doing awkward comedy.
No, Parks and Rec. That's different.
Yeah, that's not so artsy. You just call Parks and Rec artsy.
It's awkward comedy.
I guess so.
It's not.
Hey, art is art. Are we going to have a what is art discussion here? I don't think so. But you know what? Yeah. Chris Pratt already played Han Solo in Guardians of the Galaxy, so we might as well play Indiana Jones in it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Meanwhile, Harrison Ford, it's not like he doesn't want to work. According to Ridley Scott, so it's secondhand testimony, Harrison Ford read the script for Blade Runner 2, said it's the best thing he's ever read.
Really?
Yes, that's what Ridley Scott said. Ooh. About what Harrison Ford said. But yeah, Blade Runner 2 is happening.
Now you, from this entire episode, you actually truly have me.
I got you there. Right at the end. We got you. He says, this is really Scott. I sent him the script and he said, wow, this is the best thing I've ever read. It's very relevant to what happened in the first one. I'm not just doing a sequel with lots of action and see how far we can go with the special effects, because you can't really. Blade Runner, we kind of landed on a somehow very credible future, and it's very difficult to change that because it's been so influential with everything else, which is true. Blade Runner, design and the look of it.
That's his way of saying our look at the future back then isn't actually too far off of where we are now.
Yeah,
I want to like kind of throw your face in a little bit because I'm old and I can.
Right.
That's just my guess.
Three real quick things, and then we're going to wrap this up. They're making a King Kong prequel movie, and they just got the official release date and title. It's coming out March 10, 2017, and the movie will be called Kong, Skull Island.
I knew there was going to be a colon in it. I knew it. That's a new thing, Chris. It's going to be colons.
Everything's going to be colons. Yeah. That's a new thing now, subtitles with the colons. Yep. Now, here is the one interesting thing that I kind of like about this. I don't care that they're making a fucking prequel for a Kong movie. That sounds silly, but this is what I like. Kong, the rights for Kong were bought by Legendary Pictures, and they moved over and they're working with Warner Brothers, who just did Godzilla, King Kong versus Godzilla. With Marvel,
you finally got my interest.
There you go. Again,
after all that time,
finally got his interest again.
I was like, blah, 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 blah. What?
Yeah.
Godzilla, King Kong? Godzilla
versus King Kong. They can bring back the King of the Monster battle, so that would be cool.
Sounds good to me.
The Minecraft movie had a director.
This is a joke, right?
It's not a joke. They totally want to make a Minecraft movie. And they got the guy who did Real Steel and the Night at the Museum movies. They got him to write a story idea. And he presented it to the producers. The producers happened to be the people who produced the game. And they were like, nah, this isn't what we're really looking for.
Damn straight.
So, you think?
So he's,
this is
so
like,
he's out of there.
It's going to be an awful movie. It's the worst idea for a movie.
Well, it's not like there's ever been a good
video
game.
Look what you're
movie.
Trying to make a movie of. I mean,
a plotless game. But again, they made a movie out of a battleship, and that worked out
well.
Oh my god! You know what? If this is like telling people synergy is real,
it is. You want to talk about synergy? Sega.
This is
you want to talk
bullshit.
About synergy? Here we go. This is how we're going to end the show with how we're going to end the movie news here. Sega.
Uh huh.
Getting into the movie game, guys.
What?
They teamed up with a company called Hakuhodo DY Group.
We just had Sony.
This group, they're not. They don't film. They're not a production company. They are the world's seventh largest advertising agency.
Which means they actually have pull in clout.
They have some pull, and it means they are looking at the Sega properties and they're figuring out which movies they should make based purely on what they can market and advertise.
No, they have the capital to make this happen.
Variety reports that this company is working on a live action and animated series based on a variety of Sega games. Altered Beast.
Love it.
Shinobi.
Oh, yeah.
Streets of Rage.
Oh, you're getting harder.
I don't know this one. Rise of Nightmares?
Yeah. You have never played Sega or what?
Yeah, I own a Sega. I never played Rise of Nightmares.
Never even heard of that game.
Never heard of it. He's the video game junkie. And Crazy Taxi.
Really?
Yeah. That's just
That's Dreamcast. Weird. That went all the way up to Dreamcast.
That is. Well, it's still Sega. Yeah. Rights are also in place for exploitations of Virtual Fighter.
Okay.
And Golden Axe.
Oh, interesting. Dude, that's like a foundation part.
Well, it is all action stuff. But here's the thing.
But still,
has there ever been a good video game movie?
No.
No.
I mean, there's Golden Axe. All Golden Axe is going to be is some shitty fantasy movie.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be horrible.
That, you know, it's going to be awful.
Well, that and Altered Beast.
Altered Beast. Altered Beast.
No, they have too much practice with Twilight.
Altered Beast has a different. I mean, you could go the Twilight role, but if you go. I mean, there was only one wolf in Altered Beast. There was what? The wolf, the lion.
The gold,
yeah. Something else. Because there were like four different animals you could turn your guy into. But now that you said that, yeah, that's just going to be awful as well. Yeah. What other
Shinobi movie? Streets of Rage?
Shinobi could be cool. I mean, it's
gonna
ninja, be
a, right. That's a ninja.
It's a ninja movie. Yeah.
It has the most potential.
Yeah, probably. Well, Streets of Rage,
but it also has the potential. I mean, Ninja Assassin. You know, case in point.
They already,
awful
made, a,
ninja
they already
movie.
Made a movie. Yeah, Ninja Assassin movie. Yeah.
Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Warriors? All right.
Movie. Yeah, exactly.
True.
Streets of Rage. They even made the Warriors.
Or even Streets of Fire.
Yeah.
Just like still, which is like the Warriors, but with rock and roll and Willem Dafoe and other.
All the same.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a Virtua Fighter video game, it's going to be like all these fucking Tekken movies and these Street Fighter movies that you've already seen.
Just the worst movies.
The worst.
The worst.
I mean, seriously, the only video game movie, and I still think it's going to be awful, but I think that maybe even has the slightest bit of potential.
Don't do it.
Is the Fassbender Assassin's Creed movie.
Okay. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, which is supposed to come out next year.
No. No.
No, Doom. Yeah, they already did that. No, they can still make a good Doom movie.
They could,
but they never will.
But for some reason, nobody wants to.
No.
You know what? At this point in time, a good video game movie to be done right now, either like you guys just said, the last Doom game or Dead Space. Give me space horror.
Yeah.
Straight up Event Horizon.
Yeah, like the best, the better parts of Event Horizon.
Yeah. Give me space horror.
Yeah,
that would be an awesome video game movie.
How about prison horror to suffering?
Or actually,
the suffering was so scary.
Borderlands.
I actually screamed.
Well, that's like Mad Max. You're saying
Borderlands
coming out with Mad Max video game. Yeah. Right?
Well, that makes sense. That goes both ways.
Exactly.
And then the better success rate for movies being turned into video games, but it's still very low. There's potential
but
history is going against us. I think I would like to see some sort of space horror. They were trying to work on a BioShock game movie for a little while. Gore Verbinski, the guy who did the first few Pirates movies, and Lone Ranger. He ended up doing Lone Ranger instead.
Don't worry. It's fine.
Don't worry. You're pretty head, Elijah. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show. I got here the lightning round for you. You're ready for this?
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Here's the intro.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Alrighty, lightning round time. I got 10 questions for you. Hit them to you really fast. You just give me the first thing that pops in your head. And we're going to learn a little bit about you. You ready?
All right.
Drew, please start the clock.
And go.
Number one, do you believe in a higher being?
No.
Number two, how many pairs of shoes do you own?
Six.
Number three, do you believe in love at first sight?
Yes.
Number four, what is your favorite drink?
Gin tonic.
Number five, what is the most nerdy, geeky thing you do?
Only pick one.
Have sex with my girlfriend while she's in cosplay.
Number six, what is your favorite meal of the day?
Dinner.
Number seven, if you were given three wishes, what would you wish for?
Financial stability, happiness, and health.
Number eight, what is your dream job?
To rule the world.
And number nine, what was your least favorite job you ever had?
Not ruling the world.
And number 10, would you prefer to lose an arm or a leg?
Pinky.
Arm or leg is the answer, is the question. Arm or leg?
Leg.
You go without the leg. All right.
Leg.
All right, Drew, break out the saw. Here we go.
I'm ready.
Time to take off that leg. We'll do that right after we take the break here. We break for the end of the show. So thank you very much, Drew Chicago. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. I should have brought more of this queen.
Thank you, Elijah, for coming on the show. We had a good time. Hope you did too.
Thank you for having me, man. That was a good time.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. So let's go ahead and wipe your leg down with the alcohol swab we got over there. And we'll take that real quick. And we'll be back next week with episode 102 of Cinema Crest Episode. That's the Christmas episode. So
dude,
Christmas tidings to you.
I thought you were kidding.
Did you say it episode 102?
I said 102. It sounded like 102.
It did.
Episode 1 of 2 of book 3 is coming.
I was about to say, please don't tell me we're doing that.
We are now splitting our episodes up, and we're up.